We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. The first order we'll be calling is the Canvas Board meeting for the general election results and adopt resolution 2014-04.
Just to briefly go over, we had 304 people registered to vote on election day. We had 8 new registrants. 192 people voting in the precinct here, 2 people voting by a absentee ballot. So we basically had 192 votes cast for the general election, which we basically had a voter turnout of 63.16%. Kind of what they've seen countywide was about 65%. Typically we do about 70 to 80% turnout, so it's kind of down from past general elections. Basically, resolution 2014-04 is to approve the votes, whereas Mayor Maltz received 124 votes. There are 45 write-ins for mayor, 23 undervotes. For the 2 council members for 4-year term, Chris Lund received 124 votes, Stephen E. Trevish 120 votes. There are 23 write-ins. Anyone wondering what undervotes are, that is whereas if you vote for up to 2 and you only vote for 1 in that category, all would be 2 undervotes. Special election for council member for Robert J. Gagronis, 125 votes, 20 write-ins, and 47 undervotes.
The newspaper said that was a 4-year term. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. That is a misprint. But on the ballot, it specifically stated. So basically what we move to adopt resolution 2014-04, unless there's any questions or concerns in relation to the general election held on November 4th, 2014.
Not hearing any questions or concerns?
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the resolution number 2014-04. Paying certification for the election. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Good job, Bob.
Make a motion. Looking for a motion to adjourn the Canvas Board meeting.
Make a motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn the Canvas Board meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. This time we'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. If everybody would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all. We'll move to a public comment section. We've got some visitors here that we don't have on our agenda. I guess we've got it that they can got 3 minutes. They can explain what they're here for, and council can be advised after a while and as the meeting goes on. So I don't know who's first, if anybody's got anything, or just here for general information, how the meeting is going to go. Ladies, do you have anything, or are you okay? Germans? Ms. Penny? Nothing from public comment? We'll move on. We'll go to the agenda review. If there's any added items.
Mayor and City Council, a few items that are included in addition to the agenda are the water and wastewater reports for October 2014, a letter from Minnesota Pollution Control, an updated delinquency report, a memo on City of Hamburg health renewal, an updated November claims list, and also make an amendment to the agenda to remove the closed meeting portion of the City Council meeting and reschedule that at a different council meeting, which can be discussed in the Treasurer's report.
Any other items to be added? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion to accept it with the changes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to accept the agenda as presented with the changes as noted. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the consent agenda.
I'd like to remove the August 26th minutes. I don't believe they got sent out. And any questions in relation to joint assessment contract with Miller's, that would require any further discussion.
Discussion, questions? Council?
Just one note I want to make on the service agreement for joint assessment with Carver County. Basically looking at a 50-cent increase per parcel, which will amount to about $125 increase for 2015.
Anything else? If there's nothing else, I'd look for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda with the removal of the minutes for August 26th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the fire department report. Mr. Buckentine.
Evening, guys.
Evening.
Evening.
Congratulations to you on your elections.
Thank you.
Start off, I think we have a couple certificate of recognitions. Brenda Jurek is not here tonight. I talked to her the other day. She said she was coming. So.
She called with the weather, and she had to bring her little one.
Right.
She didn't want to be out on the road.
Okay. So she's not here, but Jean's, and she had 13-plus years on. Gene Steer is here tonight. We'll do his certificate.
You can do that.
He had 21 years and 4 months, I believe it was.
Shelly? Mr. Steer, would you like to come up here, please? I want to present you this certificate of recognition. It says this certificate is awarded to Gene Steer in recognition of valuable contributions to the city of Hamburg for serving 21 years and 4 months as a volunteer firefighter for the city of Hamburg and the Hamburg City Council. Thank you. Thank you very much for your service. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Fire gear. I met with Jeremy. We kind of went over some budget issues and had some money left over. Through that DNR grant, we have to order 2 sets to get 1 reimbursed back. We had enough to order 2 more sets. I think we were figuring at $1,800 apiece, and it's going to be less than that. So I guess we just need to get that approved.
You're going to get 4 sets then?
We get 4 this year, and then based on how that budget was working with next year, we got 3 next year. And they came out, they sized 7 guys already, so we just ordered 4 this year for this year's budget, and then in January we'll order them other 3.
So do you have to make a motion to approve the purchase of 4? That's already in the
budget.
It's in the budget, so. Mm.
Okay. So that's what that is. Rescue 11, we had talked about the air conditioner wasn't working all year. That was another thing we did with that budget meeting to see if it's something to fix this year or wait for next year's budget. That quote came in at $1,100. I guess we need a motion, I think.
What's wrong with it?
There is no AC in Rescue 11. It's not working at all.
Yeah, did he say?
Oh, the compressor was rotten. He tried to adjust it to work on it. He thought maybe he could get by with a hose, and he said as soon as he got on the fitting, it was just rusted out in there.
Okay.
You're going to change that over to the new style?
What's he going to do? He's going to install a new AC condenser. Yeah.
Condenser or compressor?
Condenser. I don't know what the difference is.
Condenser is in front of the radiator.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is in the back, but it's for in the box. I don't know what the difference in them are.
Who did we get the quote from?
Through Peeps Repair. He's the one who did the DOTs. And he said he went through a different place, wanted $1,250 for the part, and he was able to find a assembly set for $650. So, and he said he can convert it over to save some money.
Okay. Well, that's something we can put in for the budget next year, can't we?
We had that figured in for this year's yet.
Do you need to fix it for that?
We don't need it fixed. It's just we put it. We had money in this year's budget yet. Was up. That's why we're dealing with it now, to see kind of if it was better to do it this year in this year's budget or wait for next year.
So I asked Jeremy for his advice on that.
Well, my thing is, if it's within repairs budget this year, I'd have it done this year. So you're not saving an $1,100 hit off the bat right away next year.
And if we got the money to do that?
Yeah, we sat down and went over the fire department budget. You know. Now we do. I make no promises. I mean, things can happen.
I would guess now would be the time to do it then.
I guess if he's got time, because basically if it's needed, that also takes the moisture out of the inside so your windows don't fog up, that your air conditioning is working.
Yeah, that should.
So, probably wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, well, we know we want it done at some point in time before next year.
I'd probably do it sooner than later.
Yeah, and that's if we had the money, we'll just get it done. Sounds like we'll have new issues coming with one of the other trucks, just talking to Greg, so.
Big issue?
Yeah, we might have a head gasket going, I don't know yet.
Which one?
Our ambulance. It was just the last couple calls this last weekend. Some of the guys could smell antifreeze, so. Don't know what that's going to be yet. It just started.
Okay. Well, I suppose to get it scheduled.
Was that it on the air conditioner or SB11?
Should be.
All right. The Christmas lights, some of the guys had concerns with the way we did them in past, so one of the firefighters found a light to use. Said cost will be minimal, if anything, so we might try that this year instead of the loader bucket. Just letting you know.
Is that Armor Dazzle Creek going to go again this year?
To what?
The Armor Dazzle?
Yep. It's December 5th or 6th, whatever that Saturday
is. 6th. Is it getting all decorated up?
6th. Yet? Yep. Oh, they're working on it already. I think they're going bigger than even last year was. I guess that's all I had, unless you guys have something.
I've got one question. As I was driving up here tonight, I seen some people have flags out ready for tomorrow, for Veterans Day. Did we put the flags up on the city poles for Veterans Day in the past?
I don't remember. I have to ask Gary. I can ask him.
Well, it's kind of late notice, but...
I know he always said Memorial Day and Labor Day he did.
Fourth of July, but I didn't know.
I don't know if he ever said anything about veterans, if we did or not.
It's just I seen some people have the flags out this afternoon and tonight. So I was just wondering if ours go up.
I don't know what he did in the past. Yeah, it should.
Other than that, I don't have anything else for the chief. Counsel?
How are your tickets going for the gun report?
Pretty good. As of 2 weeks ago, we were down to 10 books left, or nine, so... Hopefully they all get sold now, but he had 900 tickets, and I think he had 30 somewhere in already.
Good.
I didn't get something else. Anything else for Chief? Counsel?
No.
I guess. Thank you.
Thank you guys.
We'll move on. Number 8. the Comiskeys pertaining the annexation of the property in Young America Township. I see Brian and his wife and family are here. If you, this is the time you can address.
Well, we're not looking to annex in, so I'd like to find out where you're at and what's going on.
Well, I think as per city and township, this has been discussed for some time in the past here, being to get all our property lines, you know, how should I say,
squared off.
Squared off, that's the word. So that's why the proceedings were started, the letter was sent. That's the intention.
And just to back up a little bit, this is just a discussion. I know there's some propaganda and some other things going around, and I got some phone calls today, but I just want to make some things clear. This is just for discussion right now. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think there's anything here that the council is pushing or forcing. It was just for discussion. One of the concerns the township has is when we purchased that property for the stormwater pump, and we went to them for a joint orderly annexation agreement. Kind of part of that was more so it was a verbal. There was nothing in stone, but a verbal that we would work on annexing in the rest of your property along with the other properties in town.
What other properties in town?
There is...
And why aren't they here?
Well, we started with that because we kind of made a verbal agreement with the township when we did that joint orderly annexation. Like I said, there was nothing in stone. This is just for discussion, so I don't want any darts or anything thrown. This is just for
information.
Well, this is basically letting you know we're not, we're opposed to it.
Okay.
And you're going to end up, that's part of, you might as well know that right off the bat in the discussion. And if you're going to think about it and do your homework and figure out if there's any benefit to the city, because there really isn't, with what you're talking about, not even a change. It's not a irregular, or any more irregular than a standard city. Very few cities are blocked in huge spots at a time. Everything grows in spots. It's real unusual to find a city that doesn't have irregular borderlines in areas. And there's no reason. There's no need. There's no reason. There's no good use. There's no reason for that property to go into the city because it cannot be developed unless if my house comes down. There's just no other access to get into that property. So unless if you're looking at trying to do something, I don't know. I mean, as the property owner, and I should be contacted first before anything gets done as far as looking for development. If I'm not looking for the development, I don't know what the city would have. If you're looking at just straightening out lines, you're taking 6-7 acres out of agricultural use to turn into a weed lot. Because really, if I'm not mistaken, there is no livestock allowed in town. Pets are allowed, but horses, cows, chickens, donkeys are not allowed in the city limits. So if you're going to try to annex that in, you're forcing us to pull our horses out of there.
Well, like I said, tonight is just...
Well, this is right. This is discussion. And that's why we're discussing it, and we want to discuss it right off the bat and say, hey, we don't think it's a very good idea. We've got some other people here. The majority of the people in this room are here because they don't like the idea of...
Well, that's why we had the meeting.
Yep. And that's why we're discussing it.
I think that's the intention of this, is to get
what's
on the public.
What benefit do you guys see by annexing our property? Other than straightening
out and kind of conforming with what the township, what was discussed earlier. To make it all level, we did it with Farm Supply,
Miller's,
you know, so it's just...
How about the people on the east side of Park Avenue?
There's Heather Shines, there's...
Are you guys planning on...
Rita's here, there's part of her property.
So
there's three or four other...
Send them a letter to straighten out their property line too, or just us?
We haven't at this time, no.
What?
We haven't at this time, no.
Jeremy, who initiated this whole thing?
Well,
was it the township?
It's pushed from the township, which I brought forth to council, which we talked about for what?
Four months?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, like that stormwater pond down there, that's a little bit different because of the fact that that benefits the majority of the town.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, government coming in and saying, hey, Mr. Kaminsky, you got to move part of your property into Hamburg. I think that's inappropriate, and I don't think that's the way to go. And if you were here saying, I'd like to be annexed into the city, then I would say we should consider it. But as far as I'm concerned, if you don't want it, I'm not going to vote for it if it ever comes to that.
No, that's good to know that. But they, yeah, we're just, we're wanting to try to cut it off right off the bat because we're not even done. I still don't have the last of the loafing shed done. Just work the arena, you know, it's just getting ready, you know, finished up for these horses, and we're not looking to have anything moved out. And I do know from back when I was on the council, well, part of these townships issue is the fact that when they create property tax statements for some of these little parcels, they actually end up costing the township. I'm really sure that if they talk to these people who have parcels that have $10 property taxes, it probably would be very amenable to paying what it costs the township to produce a statement, because it's only like $15. I'm pretty sure that anyone that has property that's split would much rather pay $15 a year in property taxes than to see it get disappeared. And I know that was the biggest issue that Kurt had when they came in and were saying, well, it's costing us money to have these little parcels. As far as my parcel, it doesn't make any difference at all. It's connected one way or another. It's not an outlot. There's no way that it's a straight line. I mean, when you run from Chadwick's property across Bobby's, that's a straight line, and it moves back, and we straightened that line out when we did when we put Schneewins in. We straightened the rest of the irregularity, and actually the staff pretty much said it was Tibet. And so it kind of surprised me when this came back up. So I was told when we did Schneewins that, you know, this is the last time that the city would go along with a partial annexation, excepting, of course, for their own purposes for the holding pond.
I think that was just a little bit different scenario. But
well, yeah, the holding pond, I mean, we all agreed the holding pond was totally necessary. Mm-hmm. We all know that water flows downhill, and that happened to be the bottom and the most reasonable and logical place for it. You know, and we weren't opposing any of that. You know, that made a lot of sense. But we still think it makes a lot of sense for it to stay as it is and keep the livestock on the property. And that's what we really want to make sure, that nothing comes
so
in.
So bottom line, you'd like to see that if the city is
I'd
looking
like
to
just
have
scrapped
annexation, that there's a, you know, an absolute reason for it.
Yeah, we have to, I mean, there should be a good reason, and the only good reason for any of that would be for development, for something that really needs to go into the city. It's the best use you can come up with for that land at this time is agricultural. And the city doesn't have an agricultural zoning. It isn't going to be ag if you take it into the city. So then what happens to it? It really turns into nothing but a problem.
Well, it couldn't really be plow ground anyhow, could it?
It could legally be plowed, but we don't want to plow it. It's better as pasture. We need hay. We need pasture land. We need grass, you know, hay land. That's the best for it. But we don't, you know, but even as hay, I mean, it couldn't, once it runs into the city, I'm not sure exactly what could happen with it, other than I know that we can't have livestock on it. I don't know for sure what would happen if any other ag could be allowed or not. I'd have to look a little closer into whether or not you could crop or grass it. I'm not sure on that. But there's no reason for it. I mean, it's not attached to the, with that pond there. It's separated from the park. You know, it's buffer zoned from the park by quite a bit. There's no other good purpose for it other than ag.
Okay. Any other comments from the folks that are anywhere interested in this? Or
well, I guess that's the reason we came, just because we heard of the issue, didn't know any of the necessarily any of the facts, but mm-hmm. wanted to find out. The one thing I do know, believe is that probably the Elmer Banning, now Kaminsky Place, or not, Weldon Banning and Kaminsky Place has been there longer than the houses and longer than the city has grown to it. And it was ag land then, and we grew around it to, in a sense, and I know no one is forcing here, but to say now we want to annex it in, if that's their livelihood, and if some of it gets rented for ag purposes, or they use it for ag purposes, and it takes some of their livelihood away, or their enjoyment, or the reason they bought a hobby farm, then I guess, as he said, if it would come to a vote, I would probably be against it, unless there were some very strong facts that supported why the city should have it. And to annex it into the city, would it be a tax increase on their property then, and a tax value to the city without some, who knows what type of, I don't think Kaminsky's would just say, well, you want it, then we'll let you have it. I would venture to say there'd be a lot of legalities, there'd be costs.
We ain't even going down there.
No, we're not.
Yeah. We don't want to go down there really or mention it.
Why do we want to do that in a small town?
It's just, it's been discussed numerous times.
So it's brought up.
You know, we apologize that we picked you. But it's just, that's what the township's been honest about, annexing your property because of when we did the
public. Yeah,
we're not singling anybody out. It's just, it's good to have people here and hear their comments.
Excuse me?
Has there ever been a township representative here or talked to the Kaminskys about why we definitely want this done, or just...
I don't know. I don't think they have.
They've never... The only discussion we ever had with anyone with the township was when we were... Well, when we straightened up Schneewen, when we sold that property to Schneewen, and when we did the pond, which obviously, I mean, it had to get annexed in order for it to be the city pond.
So the line on the north side, was that just kind of go kind of between your house and your barn, or was the barn
the north
there?
Side?
Yeah.
That property line was vague and up in the air, and no one knew where it was until it wasn't defined. And when we sold the property to Schneewen's, we agreed with the township that we should try to make a straight line. We looked at the city maps, and we realized that if we took a straight line from the southern property line of the people on the 800-900 blocks of Park Avenue, that if we extended it straight, that would be right in the area where Russ was looking to acquire. And so we figured out where that line existed on the other side of Martha Street and continued it, and then put it onto the map and put it into the legal descriptions so that we could actually consider that there was an established, because up until that time, we didn't know for sure if the property line ended. We're thinking it was actually on Greenhagen's and Schneewen's backyard, their southern property line, or our northern property line along there, was the city, we believe was the city limit, because we can't find it. And then the city actually, the limit came and went 10 feet south of my house to abide by the zoning, so it could swing around, and the property line swung around the house and then shot up the driveway. And it still shoots up the east side of my driveway and then back on the west side. So the only thing that's really irregular is my driveway is actually township.
And the house, where is the line?
My driveway, which is now under the easement of the storm pond, or the storm pipe, that's township.
Okay.
That I don't believe was ever changed. They straightened out the line on the from that point heading east.
I'm going to say your house is it a house in the city?
My house is in the city.
Okay,
my house was in the city, and what happened was the property line. If you started on Park and came down my driveway, you're in the township while you're in the driveway.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
But just to the east, edge there on the property line, you'd go down past the house, 10 feet past the house. It would go to the west or go to the east, go past my house, and then go back north to the property line with Schneewins and Greenhay.
So there's a jog there.
Yeah, it was a jog. And we straightened that jog out when we sold the property to Schneewin, and we defined where it actually existed at that time.
But Steve Ryder, when this whole thing started, I kind of got the impression, and I'm not sure how, but it just came up about that the township wanted to do this, and they had already talked to you about it, and you were kind of said, yeah, well, we're kind of going to go along with that. And so I think the city, wanting to be good neighbors to the township, said, yeah, okay, we'll talk about it. And I don't think we knew right off the bat that you were opposed to this. And obviously you are, and as I said before, the township, unless there's some compelling reason that none of us know why this should happen, I don't see it's even worth discussing anymore. You don't want it done? It's not going to benefit the city a great deal? I don't see any merit to moving ahead.
No, I mean, it's just information tonight, so.
I would feel the same way about my property, too.
Pardon?
I would feel the same way about my property.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I got a 17-foot strip of land behind my house that, you know, I get two tax statements, and this thing is, you know, the width of the house plus 17 feet deep, and it's 25 feet deep or whatever. I mean, I get a statement every year for $17.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather just have one tax statement.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the township wants to get rid of. And some of those, I'm sure the homeowners would just assume they get tied together. Some of them, like Hendershites, where they have a garage or old barn, little, you know, smaller barn that they use for a garage, I'm sure they'd like to keep that in the township, you know. I don't know, you know, for sure down the road, anyone else, you know. Obviously, Byerly's is up for sale. Who knows what the next people are going to want? But you never know. They may want to put a horse in there because they got 4 acres of township, you know. But that's, you know, I know the city or the township was talking about the irregular lines, and I thought that we had everything on our properties straightened out as far as all the irregular lines already. You know, they're.
That's my understanding of support.
Well, like I say, if there's information tonight, it's good everybody came. You know, we know what's going to up, so we could kind of go back to the township and report to them too a little bit and go from there.
Okay.
All right.
Has anybody else heard any other comments from other neighbors or surrounding neighbors that are in a similar situation? I know Rita's voiced her concern. I think it's always helpful. We normally don't get anybody here at council meetings, believe it or not. But it's nice to have people here and I think voice their concerns so the council knows what the situations they're dealing with. So I guess I don't know if you've heard from other property owners how they feel. I mean, we can get in touch with them too to see the other remaining people that have one parcel in and one out.
Mm-hmm.
If any of them are even willing to look at considering.
I'm sure some people like, let me say, Dick, I mean, some cases it doesn't make any sense. It's confusing. I have a little piece that's actually in the city that I get a weird statement for because it's just that little access right by the ditch that's kind of that little 20,
yeah.
The township doesn't want it back, you know. Although if it went back to the township, it would tie to the rest of mine. It wouldn't create another statement. But I believe the city wanted the line to go all the way to the ditch along the street there, which makes sense for the city's purposes.
But meeting like this gets rid of all the rumors and clears the air.
Well, then
I mean, you feel better now.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing.
You understand what's going on?
Yeah.
We know what's going on, so.
Just wanted you to know that we are not looking for having that going into the city. And like I said, we thought, or I thought from, you know, talking to everything over before we did the pond, that everything was pretty much set like that until such time as something were to develop or go on.
The township,
you know,
the township,
and then it would go into this, you know, if it were to get developed, it would go into the city.
I guess the township actually came to us and talked to us what's going on, you know. So,
so this is what it's all about. The township came to us first before talking to you?
Well, they haven't talked to us at all.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Well, this goes back quite a while.
I think, from
it's been talked
anything
about ever
recent,
since I've been here.
But as far as I thought, all the issues as far as irregular borders and any of that was already taken care of with the Schnewen property at and all. And that's been a long time. I mean, that's 10 years at least. And nothing was brought up about irregular or anything when the pond was put in. Just, you know, there was no reason for any more than what the city was purchasing to go into the city limits. No one felt that there was anything at that point. And it kind of surprised me when I got that letter in the mail saying that there was this issue coming up. So.
Well, it brought it out so everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason anyone has a hobby farm in a small town like this. Seems obvious that Brian and Rita's, and I'm not in the same boat they are, but I've got land in the city, land in the township. I mean, just take that away from us. What's the point? I mean, that's the whole reason that you're on a hobby farm.
Well, it's not taking it away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taking it away.
No, but I know
it's practical purposes.
I think really you've kind of got the best of both worlds because you've got the city water and the city sewer and the city streets, plus you've also got the wilderness, you know, for your hobby. I think that's great, especially if you've got kids.
Well, and sure, Mr. Dearman said, we farms were here long before the whole thing else was.
I think they add a little character to the community. Personally, I like those barns on the edge of town, and I don't think if there's not that many complaints, why we would have any issues with a few horses and cattle and donkeys and a little yelping in the morning from the ballpark side. That's
there we go.
Donkeys are more than I am. I'm so thankful I found it. Patient with my donkeys. I don't try to let them out. I want them.
Would you live over by the ballpark?
Yeah.
I've heard about you. And your donkeys.
They want to be petted. That's why they go around town.
Well, I guess, is there anything else on this? Otherwise, we've got the information and we'll move on.
You know? And we'll, I don't know if the township's meeting tomorrow night, but I'll get in touch with the town board and talk that we sat down. And
do we need to be there?
I guess I would like to hear why the township wants this in the first place. It sounds ridiculous to me. I mean, why are they even bothering with it? If they've brought the issue up 18 years ago when you were here, and they haven't done anything with it yet.
It ain't just Comiskey's.
No.
That's not. Okay. I don't want to.
That's not it.
Single anybody out here. It's just, when we've done comprehensive plans, which we have to do every 10 years, that's usually when it gets brought about. We're about 2 years away from updating ours again, and they always talk about squaring off boundaries, and now's the time to look at annexations, yada, 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 you know, when you do that comp plan. You're basically extending that comp plan out to, you know, 2040 plan, so that's typically what it
comes
for. I wouldn't have known anything about this if I weren't acquainted with Comiskey's, and yet my property would be in one of those considerations, so maybe we could have all gotten.
Yeah, and we could have did that,
but
the push was really
was kind of the first stop.
Right. But yeah, right. But now it's great that everybody came and council has an idea of, you know, people's opinions.
Yeah, we're going to do it. That kind of would set a precedent, which would concern me. So that's kind of why.
And I don't think it was ever the council's tuition here, unless I'm talking out of context here, to put it forth anyone. And say we want We wanted to know if anybody would even be willing to look at it. Obviously, it sounds like no.
So, but it's settled.
It's great that everybody came. I mean, it's probably one of our record crowd,
Yeah.
It's good, yeah. When you have to set up chairs, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I guess, Matt, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you both for coming.
We'll move on to Mr. Roth with the AT Group.
All right.
I almost feel bad. I thought they were all here.
Well, they could hang around.
He's going to explain Obamacare if anybody wants to stick around.
No.
1,800 pages of the Affordable Care Act.
Sure.
I think we got
We got this already?
Counsel, printed it out.
Thanks for having me again. My name is Al Roth. I'm with AT Group. We specialize in employee benefits for public groups. We work with probably about 170, 180 different public groups throughout the state of Minnesota. I've been doing that for now about 34 years. And public is a little bit different. There's a lot of rules, regulations, compliance issues, statutes that apply to the public sector that don't apply to the private sector. What we're going to touch on this evening is our health renewal. And if you would humor me for a few moments, the ACA is the Affordable Care Act is what we're getting kind of pushed into, if I can use that word, as of December 1st. Last year, if you recall, we renewed early. We renewed on December of last year instead of January. Because all small groups are defined as 50 and fewer full-time equivalent employees, which we obviously fall into that spectrum, had to comply with the ACA either January 1st of 2014 or when they renewed in 2014. So what we did from a strategic standpoint as far as a group goes is we renewed early last year, 12-1, so we didn't have to hop into all that movement until now this December. It gave us an opportunity to sit back and just let's let the dust settle a little bit and we'll just see how things fall into place. Mm-hmm. Now some of the things now that we have to do as a with the Affordable Care Act, there's some of the things listed on this sheet. The first one, number one, says, based on the law, all plans, again, this is for small group, 50 and fewer full-time equivalent employees, have to meet one of four METAL levels. You've maybe heard of those. There's the platinum, gold, silver, and bronze. All that simply says is all plan designs must meet one of those metal levels. It's based on an actuarial value. There's a formula that's tied into it that's included in the 2,300 pages of legislation that simply says the average person on the average year would expect to have the average amount of their claims to be paid at. Platinum level would be 90%, gold would be 80%, silver 70%, and the bronze is 60%. Those plans also had to be plus or minus that actuarial value of only 2%. So there wasn't a lot of movement in that. And so maybe you heard on the news different people saying, we lost our plan. One of the reasons a person may respond with that saying would be the plan that they had did not exactly match one of those actuarial values, plus or minus 2%. As an example, a lot of groups had a deductible plan of $1,500. That no longer meets an actuarial value, so a group had to move to a different plan. They didn't want to give up the plan, it just simply didn't fall within the spectrum. So again, all plans for groups of 50 and fewer full-time equivalent employees must meet one of those four metal levels. Another thing that's changing, or has changed for anyone that's renewed earlier in 2014, is there no longer can be any pre-existing conditions. So a carrier can't say, I'm sorry, Al, you have some pre-existing conditions. We're not going to cover those. In the past, how it worked is, if I had continuous coverage from either an individual plan or another group plan, with not more than a 63-day lapse in coverage, the carrier could not assess me any pre-existing condition limitations. Okay? So, if I got hired here at the city of Hamburg in the past, I had a real bad back, I had received treatment for that bad back in the last few months, my bad back wouldn't be covered the first 12 months I'm on the plan. That would be considered a pre-existing condition. Moving forward now, when we renew in December, or for any other groups that are already renewed in 2014, a group cannot have any pre-existing conditions that the carrier imposes on. So even if you hired me and I wasn't truthful in my application, I had a bad ticker, I had to go in for surgery, it's already pre-planned, carrier cannot say we're not going to cover that. It's a pre-existing condition. Number three, all plans must meet or must include cover essential benefits. When I was a kid growing up, the word essential was used in minerals and vitamins, and if you didn't have these particular essential minerals and vitamins, you pretty much would die after a certain period of time. Well, the essential benefits include such things as pediatric dental. So now all small group plans must cover the definition of pediatric dental, or the individual must make sure that they have pediatric dental coverage. That, again, kind of pushes up our price. Groups can no longer be underwritten. In Minnesota, all small groups in the past were underwritten. We filled out health applications, we submitted them to whatever carriers we were looking at, the carrier would come back with their offer. Their offer had to be between a 75, best case scenario rating, and it couldn't be more than a 125, worst case scenario rating. The spread between those two, best case scenario and worst case scenario, was 67%. So if a best case scenario group, based on their demographics, let's say their group premium was $10,000. They had 25 people in their group. And their group premium is $10,000. They got a best case scenario rating. There could be another group just across the street. We'll pretend they have exactly the same demographics as the group over here. They were a worst case scenario. Their premium would be $16,600. Not more than 67% higher than the best case scenario. So that was the spread that the carriers had to work within. That no longer exists, so groups are no longer underwritten. And instead, right below that, it says community rating. So what they've done is they've taken, the state of Minnesota has 9 different geographical rating areas. The footprint of those areas are exactly the same footprint for all carriers. We're in, I believe we're in Area 8. I could be mistaken, but nonetheless, in that footprint, we no longer have that range, that 75 to 125. All groups in that geographical area, based on plan and age, pay exactly the same rate. It doesn't matter how healthy we are. It doesn't matter how unhealthy we are. It's a community rate.
And one thing I'll point out, we were at the 0.75.
Yeah, we were. Last year when we moved, one of the reasons we moved was we got a sweetheart deal. That's what we did in the past. As consumers, we always look for the best possible deal we can look for. Now when we're getting moved from best case scenario, you remember what I said worst case scenario was, 67% higher than that, community is not right in the middle. Community is about 1.12 to 1.15. So all of a sudden, when you have to make this adjustment of a best case scenario, we have to ratchet that thing all the way up to community for our December 1st renewal, there's a lot of pain involved. It's just that simple. And there's no way that we can escape that because all carriers had to move to that community rating schedule. Rating scale. In Minnesota, we have a 1 to 3 rating scale. All that simply says is the ratio between the cost of coverage for a 23-year-old and a 64-year-old can't be more than a 3-to-1 racial difference. So if my 23-year-old's paying hypothetically $200 for that cost of that coverage, my 64-year-old can't be paying more than $600 for that same exact cost of coverage. That continues to get closer and closer and closer year by year by year as it counts down and counts up until they meet at whatever the middle age group would be on that. There also must be a rate for each age category as it specifies in the ACA. In the past, we had rates based on five-year bands, when something like 25 to 29 years of age, 30 to 34, 35 to 39, 40 to 44, 45 to 49, so on and so forth. The ACA said, we think there should be an age rate, or a rate, excuse me, for each age. So that's another thing we're looking at. So there's a rate for each age. It doesn't go in five-year bands. Children in the past, a person could cover their kids to the age of 26, regardless of student status, regardless of where they lived, regardless of marital status. The law was, Al, if you have any kids, you can cover them as a dependent child on your plan through the month that they turn age 26. The maximum number of children that a carrier could charge you for was 3. So, for those individuals that had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids, they were only charged for 3. They paid for it at home, let's face it. But nonetheless, the carrier could only charge them for 3 children. Moving forward now, under the ACA, you can still cover them through the month that they turn age 26. However, for any children that you have that are 21 and above, they are now charged the adult rate. So, if a person had 5 kids on their plan in the past, they were charged a maximum of 3. Now, when that group renews, very likely that a person maybe has 1, 2, maybe more of those kids that are 21 to 25 years of age, not 26 yet. All of a sudden, they're paying the adult rate for those children above 21, but not yet past their birth month of 26. Okay?
Excuse me.
Yes.
Isn't this going to push a lot of them that they can't afford it? This just says an affordable insurance. I can't see how some families could do this.
I would completely agree with you. We would be seeing eye to eye on that. Yes.
I mean, there would be then again, you couldn't elect to have it. So then where do they fall in?
Well, then we're going to pay a penalty.
They're on the Medicaid replacement plans. Those are the cheapest.
Okay.
You
still got coverage.
You got coverage, but it's very basic it's basic, and it's also, it doesn't pay the actual provider very much either. The government, CMS is always kind of, they're real cheap with what they pay.
I'm just looking at the scenario here. If people can't afford it, then they're going to be covered by us, the taxpayer, again.
Yes.
You know?
I
don't understand this program, you know?
I don't understand it either. I understand how it is designed and how it works.
Right.
I don't understand how any of us could expect that it would be more affordable, it would cover more people, it would do anything else. In the 2,300 pages of legislation, we have not been able to find a thing with the lawyers, with the accountants, with everybody else, with our professional organizations that we belong to, that shows us how it's actually going to reduce the cost of health care.
Yeah, when I see 37% here, that's no...
Yeah, the highest group that I've heard of in the state of Minnesota so far down in the Rochester area was 123% increase.
How can you afford it? They can't.
You don't. You sit back and you just go
123%. So how is that? To me, how can that be affordable?
Well, we were banding around 67% here a couple of meetings ago that it was going to go up.
Yeah.
You know how much my insurance went up at work? $18 a month.
Large group?
Yeah, large group.
Is that the employee cost or the full cost of the employer?
No, that's my cost, $18.
Okay. We'd want to make sure, I'm not disagreeing with you, but we'd want to make sure what is the cost of the coverage, the overall cost. How much did the employer pick up? Did the plan design change? Did the network change? Were there any tweaks that they made to it? I'm simply sharing with you some of the things that we'd want to do.
You're probably absorbing more.
They are, I'm sure. Yeah, but
they have to.
I guess what I got so far out of this,
sure.
On this, okay, we went from 75% to, what did you say?
0.75, risk factor.
Risk factor of 75, best case scenario. You couldn't get any better.
And that's what we were at, and we went up to 115, you said.
Community is probably about 112 to 115.
Okay, that's this year. Next year.
So anyway, you guys can see some of the things here that have caused some certain pressure to the rates. All right. There's a couple different things here. First of all, we mentioned we're a small group. Small group is less than 50 full-time equivalent employees. The other thing that's going to, that we believe that that'll be a more stable market is small group employers and employees don't hop in and hop out, jump around, choose to have coverage or choose not to have coverage. The individual market, you're going to see a lot of volatility. Preferred One, the carrier, had the lowest filed individual rates with the state last year. State went back to him, we found this out after the fact, state went back to him twice, said, hey, I'd like to see you lower your rates a little bit more. Okay. Hey, I'd like to see you lower your rates a little bit more. Without, none of the carriers knew where the other carriers were coming in at. What did Preferred One do? They had the lowest filed rates with the state last year. The only way a carrier can increase their rates is if the state approves that increase. They just can't increase their rates. For small group and individual, those rates that are filed with the state have to be approved by the state. And the state looks at their books first. Preferred One's increase was 66% this last year. State looked at their books and they said, yep, we're going to approve that. Individual market has pick and choose. When we buy stuff as individuals, we're only going to buy it if we think we're actually going to get a value out of it. We weigh that out. Do I really want this? Am I going to get my money's worth out of it? If we don't think we are, we don't make the purchase. It's just that simple. And on the individual market, people have the ability to overutilize much more than they do on the group market. What we're seeing now for groups that renewed last January, small groups, less than 50. They were already high enough up on the ratings scale that it wasn't that painful for them to renew last January. What we're seeing for their renewal now this January, 12 months later, 3.7%. That's not too bad. 3.7%, I can budget for that. And what's the thing that we're going to introduce now? We're going to introduce the 12-1 groups. The groups that were 12-1, why were they 12-1? They were 12-1 because they, on average, were healthier. They were down here. So what does that mean? When they renew and when they get added to this pool of other small group groups, it should bring more stability to that pool. If that makes sense.
Yeah, because they're healthier.
Yes. So what we would anticipate for next year's, like a year from now renewal, probably about 5%, 6%. Right now, this is the vast majority of this is some of the law, and then we're getting moved, like Jeremy mentioned, from a 75 all the way up here in one move.
Where's it going to stop? I mean, you look at a small employer, look at this our city here. I mean, nothing against you. I mean, appreciate what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what if Jeremy and Greg had to go get their own individual policy that we would not be in this small group?
Okay.
You know?
I can share with you what that would look like.
Tell me.
Some of the things in the ACA that used to, prior to the ACA that existed, was an employer could, for those individuals that had individual coverage plans, spouse, kids, other family members had an individual health plan. Prior to the ACA, an employer could allow that individual to pay those premiums pre-tax through the employer's flex plan. Mm-hmm. The ACA took that away. So now, we had different groups now this last year that disbanded, dropped their group health plan, bought individual plans. Because look, I can buy a Preferred One individual plan and it's 30% less
than the group work. That makes sense. Their employees had to pay for the premium with after-tax dollars. So now if the employer was giving whatever amount of money to them, $1,000 a month, the employer has to pay FICA on that, 7.65. So that's about another $1,000 a year, just right there, the employer's portion. The employee has to pay the other matching FICA on it. That's all about another $1,000. Then the employee has to pay state and federal taxes on it and any other taxes that are due. Also, workers' comp, unemployment, some of the other additional things that an employer has to carry and cover are based on payroll. That bumped the payroll up, so it bumped those costs up. Now those groups are that disbanded and went with individual plans. Those individuals are getting their preferred one renewals. And if they want to keep the same plan, it's closer to a 75% increase. So now the employee's sitting there going, 70, I got to go back to my employer and I got to ask for a little bit of a raise or I'm going to have to get a different job somewhere else. I can't absorb this at all because it's all after-tax dollars. Now we got those same employer groups that we said, I understand this is incredibly painful now. That's not the best move, are saying, I think we better jump back in the group market. Because the employer can pay for it with pre-tax dollars, avoid the FICA on both sides. The employee can pay, if they have to pay anything, they can pay it pre-tax. Any contributions that they make to an HSA, they can make pre-tax. If it's an employer-sponsored plan, they can't make a pre-tax if it's just an individual plan.
So that just happened this last year too, then?
Yeah. Yeah, that was in the healthcare law. What we did then, as far as our renewal goes, we look at all the different carriers out there. It was Health Partners, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that had the lowest rates for our area based on the plan design that we're looking at. They were also the carrier that I used in my example that their January 1st renewals are 3.7%. They've done a pretty good job managing their block, is what I'm saying there.
And then I think some of the other questions that were brought up, and we've kind of touched on these, but like broker rates, they're built into that premium, whether you use a broker or not, and it don't matter which broker you use, correct?
Correct. Yeah, it's $19 a month.
And going to another broker, you're not going to get different rates.
No,
correct?
You can't. The rates for small group are filed with the state. I can't change the rates. Someone else can't change the rates. The carrier can't change the rates. Good, so, bad, or indifferent.
So as far as I'm concerned, I've worked with Al since I've been here. He's taken his time to come tonight to explain all this. And remember, he's getting $19 a month per each employee to, you know, basically manage our plan because that's built in. I mean, this month already, we've already got our $19 worth just by Al driving out here.
Right. I got nothing against him or what he's
so
doing.
No,
that's not
okay.
The point.
I agree, but I just want to make not it clear. I stick with Al because he's incredibly knowledgeable and incredibly helpful.
Well, and you're the one who works with him, you know, who's more qualified to decide who we should work with, you know, than you. But the thing I don't understand is when you see in the papers, if you believe the papers, you know, the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that these administrators and presidents and CEOs of all these companies are getting, you know, and we, the small guys, are just getting it through the nose, you know, paying for it, and these guys are sitting there and, you know, it's just, you know, there's no equality, none whatsoever.
No balance.
No.
You would have thought there would have been something in the bill that would have addressed issues like that, but there's nothing.
Well, yeah, like the Xcel Energy, they have to go before the Public Utilities Commission. Meantime, if they want a raise, and the Public Utilities Commission decides whether or not they can have that raise. And, you know, because the Xcel Energy is a private enterprise, it's got stockholders, just like these health insurance companies are, you know, why aren't they have to play by the same rules?
The four carriers that we're probably most familiar with in Minnesota, Blue Cross,
mm-hmm. yep.
Backup Preferred One, and Health Partners, they're all filed, I'm just sharing information with you, they're all filed as nonprofits. Okay?
Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Bad, or indifferent, yeah, I'm just going to share this with you. They're filed as a nonprofit. Now, we can disagree and say we don't like what they pay in wages and salaries. So I'm not taking that away from you. However, the law says that they must pay as a health carrier, 84 cents on the dollar must be paid to providers, pharmacists, doctors, hospitals, etc. So every dollar they collect in premium, 84 cents has to be paid to providers. The remaining, what is it, 16 cents? The remaining 16 cents in Minnesota, we have about 6 or 7 cents of that remaining 16 that's taxes. HMO tax, Medicare tax, medical assistance tax, MCHA tax, Minnesota Conference of Health Association, it's another pool funded by the state. So that means if you take your 7 cents out of your remaining 16 cents, you have 9 cents remaining. Of that 9 cents, they have to use that to operate their entire program. The maximum that a carrier can set aside by state law cannot be more than 2%.
So but does the state ever go in and audit their books to see that everybody's doing that and playing by the rules?
My understanding is, yes, they do, quite closely. That's my understanding. I don't actually sit in on these audits, but I know they are regulated by the state. And so, again, I'm not saying that there aren't people that are overpaid, but I am saying that of what they regulate, there's a certain level of regulation, and they have to pay a certain amount out just in claims alone. So I'm not justifying what they do. I'm just sharing with you how they have to break things out. You got a question?
Yes. Under this health partner plan here for 2015,
yes.
These prices or this, is this, are there like this, is there a Cadillac plan compared to a Volkswagen plan? You know, as in your coverages, like what this is the best, and there are different categories.
This would be a silver plan. So second from the bottom. One of your richer plans, if I can say that, would probably be a $30 copay, 90% plan. Go ahead.
The four plans you talked about. This is a 70% deductible. The metal level, the first one. This is a 70?
Yes.
Okay.
But if that, Jeremy, for you, for that 1377-14 a month, is that the total premium that the city pays and that covers you totally, or do you have to pay something in addition to that?
No, that's what the city pays. And then there's a... we're on an HSA, which is a health savings account.
Mm-hmm.
And that is $4,000
deductible? $4,000 family deductible.
Yeah.
Right. So for the most part, kicks in three of that four, so I'm paying $1,000.
That three that the city's throwing in, that's in this $1,300?
No. That's over and beyond. Am I correct?
Yes. Because that's just the premium.
We're picking up $3,000 of a $4,000 deductible.
Plus the $1,377.
Correct.
Wow.
So basically the most they've got out of pocket is $1,000 a year, less than $100 a month.
Well, no, and I...
Don't, you know, the way you figure it out.
No, but Jeremy, don't misunderstand me. I'm not being critical.
No,
I'm just asking.
I sit on both sides.
Yeah.
I sit here as the clerk.
I mean, $1,300 a month, that seems like that should cover everything and buy you a supper a couple of nights.
Well,
I can share with you that in the cities, there's quite a few groups that are in Logis.
That are what?
In Logis. That's the name of the group, and the cities buy into that, okay? For their health coverage. And they're just part of Logis. It's the Logis pool is what they refer to themselves as. You know, Bloomington, Richfield, yeah. New Hope, Crystal. These fairly sizable. Their renewal now that they got this last year was, I believe, 11.5% increase. Oh, 11.5%. That looks so much better than our 35. Sounds realistic. For their $2,600 deductible, that's $5,200 deductible for family. Their premium is $1,550. Oh. That's a lot higher than our $1,377-14. they have 4,000 or 5,000 people in that pool. Isn't Big cheap?
So what's the difference? Why?
Not really. Small group rates are actually less than large group rates. It's just that in most cases, large group rates, the composite, it says your family rate's going to be $1,500, $1,600, $1,700. The employer's going to pick up a real large chunk of that. Employees really don't see the full picture that they're looking at. Small group now this last year, because of the ACA and because of the community rating thing and the darn bill, anybody that was down here is getting a huge push-up. Guess what? We got groups at the 125. Remember the 125 rating we were talking about? You know what they're getting?
Come down.
Yeah.
Decrease. You want to know what they're saying? It's about time that we got a law in our favor. All right, ACA, I knew it was going to save us money. This is the best thing to come along since sliced bread. Now we're talking. Let's bring health care costs down. Uh-huh. Who's paying for it? City of Hamburg. All those groups that were down there, that's who's paying for it. We can go community. I shared with Jeremy, maybe you shared with you guys, if the city simply said, you know what, instead of doing water bills, sewer bills separately for everybody, we're just going to give everybody the same exact bill. It's fair. Community bill. We'll call it community bill. What's that going to do to utilization of your water and sewer? Are people going to care? Once they get done complaining, are they going to care? Fill up the basement, kids. We're having a pool indoors for once. There's no cost to it. Not directly.
No, I see that. It's...
I hope they make some changes to the bill moving forward.
Well, it's before the Supreme Court again. I read that the other day. It went passed by one vote the last time, and now it's up again. Whatever the issue was, well, it makes the whole thing shaky.
Yeah, because of the 37 states that didn't set up their own exchange, in the bill it doesn't grant, the federal side doesn't have the ability to grant those, what is it when you get money to help you out?
Subsidies.
Thank you, yes. And so that might strike the whole thing down. In the state of Minnesota, they spent close to $200 million so far just putting together the website. And it doesn't work.
Yeah, and some guy got a big bonus, you know, for putting
it together.
Yeah, he did.
It doesn't work at all. They had a private firm go in and analyze what's wrong with it. They identified 99 critical errors. And they said, well, we think we'll have 3 or 4 fixed by open enrollment again. Critical errors. Going to be an ongoing cost of $40 to $45 million just to staff it. That's not to cover a single person.
My website isn't even close to that much.
So the city from 14 to 15, we went up $8,000, right?
Yeah. 27.77%. That's assuming council keeps it. What it is.
Depends what we do with the HSA with the deductible.
Right. Yeah.
The other thing is just to make it sound a little better anyway, is from what we paid in 2013 to what we'll pay in 2015, it'd be a 15.05% increase over them 2 years.
And on your number 11 here is a critical enroll. When strict rules on when you can purchase health insurance or enroll. When is that?
Well, in the past, like anything else, we could purchase as a consumer. We'd be able to go into that particular office, shop, whatever, and say, I'd like to buy me one of these. I've kind of been in the market for that now. Person cannot go in at this point in time, whenever they want, and just sign up for individual health insurance anymore. The only time a person can sign up for individual health insurance for 2015, we'll be starting the 15th of November through about, this year they're going to pull it into next year, 2015 otherwise. That's the only time a person can sign up for individual health coverage.
So how does that help if I'm at an employer and, I don't know, they drop insurance or something? Now I got to wait till November 15th to get insurance?
If you lose your coverage as a special event, we're going to call that falls under a special event.
So there's
a loss of coverage.
Provision.
Then that person has a special enrollment period, and then they could enroll in an individual plan in the middle of the year. But there's a number of things you have to show. You have to show a letter from the employer. You have to show a certificate of credible coverage. You just can't sign up for it. Another thing is, as an employee, if I worked here, I can sign up because that's my special enrollment period when I get hired. If I have dependents, but I just decide I'm not going to cover them right now. I don't know, for whatever reason. I just decided I'm not going to cover them right now. I can't 3-4 months later just decide to cover them. I have to wait till the group's annual enrollment before I can actually add my dependents. That's a scary thing. Operates in totally different than it used to operate. It used to be in a small group, you could drop or add dependents pretty much throughout the year whenever you wanted to. There was
but
no
yeah, you're required to have insurance.
Yep.
Well, now, say the city wants to hire a guy through the year, middle of the year, for another helping hand or something. And he wants insurance.
Special enrollment period.
And that would you can get it then?
Yes.
Okay.
That'd be a special enrollment period. And if the person didn't cover their dependents at that point in time, then they run into a little bit of a problem later on. Maybe there's an employee, maybe I'm the employee, I cover the two kids. My wife over there at her job, she just takes single coverage. We renew here 12-1. I can't take my kid to 12-1 and put him on her plan if she renews 4-1. Why not? That's not a special enrollment period for her because I chose to drop the kids at that point in time. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So when is our time here? It's by December 1st?
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah, we have to decide tonight because we got to get going on enrollment.
Yeah, our renewal is December 1st. I spoke to the carriers today. When do you need to know by? We got to know by the 15th.
Yeah.
15th of November?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
That's just...
Well, the 15th is on Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, so it'll be what, the 17th?
Yeah.
Well, you'd hate for them to say it, so we need to know the date of the 15th or prior to if it falls on a weekend, but, you know...
I thought we had till December 1st.
No.
That's when we renew.
We got at work,
that's
we got...
Renewal.
Friday.
That's our renewal. If we don't do anything, you know, let's say we didn't do anything. We're just going to ignore this. We're just going to forget about it. We would renew under preferred one, and that'd be the rates that we would renew under.
50% higher.
Yeah. Maybe the second box if we renewed under preferred. Matter of fact, they called me today. Hey, we still got an outstanding renewal for the city of Hamburg, and they listed off a few other cities. I said, yes, thank you. Reminded me of that. I'm going to see one of those groups this evening, and so maybe we'll have an opportunity to have a discussion. But yeah, and Health Partners, I checked with them today. They said, well, we really should know by the 15th.
Yeah. That's the reason I asked, because at work we got till Friday to have our open enrollment done. We've got to have it done by Friday. So, and that's just, you can do that online. Can you get some questions here, right?
Well, for us here, all we need to do is just give them a nod. In other words, if we said Health Partners, all we have to do is give them a nod. They're going to ask for, what are they going to ask for? They're going to ask for a check for the first month's premium.
In full?
Yes.
I make a motion to give them a nod.
We don't have too much else we can do.
You know what?
Well, I guess the thing needs to be discussed is what city paying, what's employer paying, and what's employee claim paying.
Well, that doesn't have to be developed tonight.
No, that wouldn't be critical as far as
tonight is just
carrier.
Basically if we're going
to
go with
personally, I'd like to know.
Oh yeah, well I suppose yeah, an employee would want to know, because then if an employee opted not to, or opted not to have a dependent on, you follow what I mean, not to cover a dependent, they would want to know that so they can make other arrangements.
I don't have a clue yet what I'd want to do for deductible. That's why I wait till, I mean,
well,
what are wages?
One of the things we're in, what, maybe I'm lost. Are you thinking one of these plans?
Well, Health Partners obviously is
yeah.
the cheapest, you know.
Health Partners would be
but
the
what
choice.
What we're trying to figure out now, I think we got the nod to go with Health Partners. But the question is what percentage or what city picking up, okay, you know, the employer, what's the employee paying? That's my question, you know.
Yeah. I guess that wouldn't even involve him, would it?
No.
No, no. That's not it.
So that's like between you and us.
That's right.
That's
right.
Yeah.
So we just have to tell him which one we want to go with.
Yeah. To give him the nod so he can give the nod to the big boys.
In other words, nod. Now he can go. Then he wants to get home.
You know, one of the reasons I appreciate this, it's obviously, you know, a person can say, how do you make any money doing this? I'm not concerned about making the money. What I'm concerned about is you as a city, we have different what we want, but I think they intersect each other.
Yeah.
And what we're after is you as a city being so happy with the service that you receive from us in spite of the ACA that you talk to another city. Because I've been doing this 34 years and I know you guys talk. Because they're going to listen to something positive you say about AT Group much quicker than they're going to answer my knock or my phone call by me telling them I'm the best thing since sliced bread. So all of their different things, they intersect, and that's exactly where they intersect.
No, I got nothing against you. I appreciate you coming out and giving us the information, you know. Jeremy couldn't remember everything you talked about tonight either.
No.
You know, I mean, and I'm still...
Tape recorder.
Well, there's only so much you can do because of the law. You know, I think we all appreciate that and acknowledge that. If the council thinks that, not just Jeremy would be our guidance on this, if he tells us what he thinks is the best for the city because he works with it every day, you both agree on that. I don't have any choice, and I don't have any desire to even question that. And then, so Jeremy and I and Greg and the council, we all have to hammer out what this deductible
is. Right. I guess we got another meeting planned the 25th of November. Hopefully they can wait 15 days because I really want to get some input from surrounding area a little bit, I think.
Right, but they have to know about this other thing.
Right.
And he's got motion.
What other people do, what I'd like to compare also, some of the other benefits other cities provide that the city of Hamburg doesn't. We don't have no long-term, no life, no dental, none of those type benefits. I haven't asked for them because the city's been generous enough, you know, kind of fit my bill for health insurance.
We're not ruling anything out yet.
No, but I'm just saying I'd like to kind of, you know, be in the ballpark there too, that it looks really lopsided, that we have the full picture.
But I think that's prudent.
If what?
So, I think that's prudent for him to want to know what the options are.
Well,
the comparisons
are that. I mean,
so I've got a motion on the table to accept that.
For all partners.
Right.
Yeah. The motion is made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to go along with the Health Partners Insurance Proposal for the year 2015. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
One thing for Al gets out of here. One thing that was brought up last meeting, Al, was to get back on the calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
So will that be easy enough to do with Health Partners, to do them for like December and then re-up in January again to get back on the calendar year?
We might be able to do that. I don't think it'll be too tricky, but I've been surprised in the past.
Don't take our money.
But so let me check and let me just make a phone call tomorrow.
Okay.
One thing that I know you guys thought about it, so I'll just remind you. 12-1 is fourth quarter. Carriers will, small group carriers will adjust their rates quarterly. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. Now when a group renews, those are the rates that they're given for 12 months rolling. Okay, so their rates don't change every quarter. However, the carrier does adjust their rates on a quarterly basis. Fourth quarter, December 1st, January, first quarter, wait a second, there's a quarter adjustment.
What if it goes down?
There you go. We'll negotiate for that. To be honest with you, I don't really think it did. I don't really think it went up from fourth to first. That's another good indication that gives me a little ray of hope, at least in the short term, with as much uncomfort we're experiencing right now. Third quarter rates were less than second quarter, and fourth quarter a little less than third, and first quarter now this year are about the same as fourth quarter. That's a good indicator. Okay, I'm not saying that rates are going to be flat for years to come. I don't even want you to think that way. But it's a good indicator on a short-term basis.
I guess thanks for all the information.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. I know it's hard. It's just hard.
I mean, we're not holding you accountable. It's just I'd like to, but it's not really. You seem pretty nice, so.
No, I appreciate it. Anytime you guys have a question or a compliance question or any of that type of stuff, feel free to let me know. All right.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming out.
Do you need something signed or something? Does he need something signed or something tonight?
If you need anything else, get in touch with me Wednesday. We're off for Veterans Day tomorrow.
Today's Monday.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
Yeah. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, so we are closed.
Yeah.
That's why I said need something by Friday.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
All right.
A lot of good information. I'm going to skip to Greg. I don't got none on Old City Business. Yeah. It's just the assessment policy now, I think, that is sitting out
there.
Mr.
Schultz.
No.
He's hunting, so.
I haven't talked to him since last week.
Yeah. Enlighten us, Mr. Schultz.
The last pond releases are done. Levels are are down pretty low right now, so we'll just kind of hope that we don't have a super, super cold like we had last year, but we didn't want to take the chance of overfilling like we did last year either. So have a little rodent problem out there. Muskrats are moving in looking for water, which is a no-no. They were trying to make their nests in the old release manhole that we have on top of the old valve. And which is bad because they can plug that up for release. So I've been going out there and eliminating. I got three. Fourth one now. What I did, I went down in the hole and I put a gate in front of it, sawed a piece of wood and jammed that in there so they can no longer get in the hole through the pipe. So that should keep them out of there and keep looking for some more to eliminate. So,
this is up from brush to rodents.
Yeah. Anyway, so that part's all done out there. That looks pretty decent out there. Streets are swept. Last Friday I cleaned out leaves and stuff out of all the manholes. So that's all done for the year. Canning should be coming out this week, Wednesday or Thursday, hopefully, to replace this hydrant here, at which time then too. I have not yet flushed the hydrants for two reasons. Number one, because of all the leaves that were in the curb, I didn't want to wash down in and into the sewer, and like I said, I'm also waiting for them to get this. And Ryan called me and we got the locates and stuff, so he said he will be out here this week to replace that. So that'll be later on in the week here. grinder lift station, parts are ordered, be installed when we get them.
What do we need again?
What's that?
What do we need?
The light and the cord. And
that part, GFI, okay.
Yeah.
I think we just have one thing in question. It's just who's going to install the post for the light, which I left a message for Rob's today. So once we get that clarified, either Greg will bolt it on quick or we'll have them do it.
Yeah, well, either way, it doesn't matter to me. The post I have already, so. Fence is not up yet. I don't know if I will get time to do that before the frost is in the ground or not, but if not, it will be first thing in the spring. Hall roof, I never heard anything back from that contractor yet on that, which I didn't expect anything right away because he said he wouldn't be able to do anything this year anyway. Shop, the new heaters are installed. I will be getting the second estimate, should be coming in tomorrow. And then we will get them hooked up and working. It's getting a little chilly down there. Not too bad, though. The new snowblower is purchased. I have it. It's a very nice unit. Lana's worked with us a little bit, which allowed me to get the heavy-dutier over the medium-duty, which I was appreciative of. So that should be a good unit. Park bathrooms, that pipe is broken under the floor. That was confirmed. I don't know. I don't know what you want me to do with that. Are we going to do something with that handicap thing next year and bust that floor up or not, or what? I don't know. I mean, it's got to be fixed.
I think it's got to be fixed regardless.
It was broken under the floor, so it allowed me to blow everything out. So I don't have to worry about it. I mean, everything else is all blown out, so I don't have to worry about anything else breaking on the ground or whatever.
But is that Hennings? Would they do tackle that?
What I want to do is I want to talk to Hennings because they fixed it last time. I want to know how deep that is underneath the floor, if they remember, because Dennis didn't remember a thing. And so I'm wondering if it comes from the shutoff, comes through the wall, comes straight up the wall, and then it's just under the cement. That's what I'm hoping for. Because that floor has been painted in there, and it's very, very hard to see, even with light, where they cut it up last time. And I guess what I want to do is, when Henning's come this week, I want to talk to Dennis and Ryan and say, hey, do you guys remember this? How deep was it under the floor? How did you fix it? Basically.
You know, my opinion is we can't wait on the repair for the bathroom project because that could be a couple of years down the road.
Oh, yeah, I know that. You guys had said that when I first started, that Chris had all his plans, so.
Right, which
I
that's
just
fine,
if we're
but
do them.
We need the water for spring.
Yep.
I mean, so we got to get it looked at.
Okay.
That's my opinion. Council, what do you. We can't let it go.
Is it broken in the same spot where it was last time?
I don't know.
So you don't know if it's in the middle of the floor or the side? Or?
It's got to be. The water's coming out on the back corner of the building, which which means it's on the inside of the wall. So from the inside of the wall to where it comes out of the floor is probably 8 feet. So it's got to be somewhere in between there where, I don't know, just have to cut the cement up and
hope you started the right end.
Probably. Well, what I'm thinking is where it was fixed last time, it's probably where it broke again. Maybe not, but.
Next to it.
Yeah, that could be too. Sometimes joints pull apart or whatever, and, what's weird, it didn't happen until, 3/4 of the way through the summer. So that's why I'm wondering, what. Yeah.
Is there a possibility to take and just cut the pipe off where it goes into the building and take and hook on there and run up and run inside the building and
well, it comes out, it's like 8 feet in the ground is where it comes off of the curb stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it comes into the building is going to be 8 feet under. And then it probably, I'm hoping that it probably comes straight up the wall then because with the size of the hole that I think I can see was about this much of the table. Well, you can't dig 8 feet down. We'd only taken that much out. So I'm thinking that they, when they ran that, it maybe came up, and that's where they were going to end. Okay, no, we can't have it here because it's not in the design of the... So I'm thinking that they shot underground, came up, and then just went under the floor is what I'm hoping. You know, that it's
well, what I'm saying is putting in a new service that basically runs on the surface inside the building, where you can't do that because it's down too far. I mean, rather than trying to get underneath the cement to replace that and get at it and fix it, can you just run a new service in, you know, on the, through the side of the building?
You'd have to dig up that curb stop. And
yeah, that curb stop and everything outside would have to be done up then.
Yeah. No, I'm just throwing that out. That's the last
case. Yeah, I don't...
to put a new line in.
But does Henning, they might have some suggestions to them?
Yeah, and I'm hoping that they remember...
They have a good memory.
How high it is. I mean, if it's just right underneath the floor, then that shouldn't be that big of a issue.
Yeah.
I guess it, if it's 8 feet down, it's underneath the floor. Oh, we got problems.
We got issues.
But it's on the side of where that sink is versus where the panels are.
It comes up into the girls' bathroom.
Oh, okay.
And it comes up between the guys and the girls is where the pipe actually comes out.
Okay.
But between the center of the building and the outside, it cuts across the girls' bathroom. It's kind of like a, I don't know what kind of a jog it is, but anyway, like I said, I'm hoping to talk to them and say, hey, when you did this, was it right underneath the cement?
Hmm.
If they can tell me that, that will make things so much easier, because then we just cut the cement up and start looking for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Start by the wall where it was before. All Dennis remembered was that they didn't have to take down all the dividers, he said. So it was by the wall that time. So I'm hoping that they shot it straight up and then under the cement is what I'm hoping happened.
No matter what. If you're into it, you're going to fix it.
Yeah.
If you get into it, the divider's got to come down or a hole that big in the floor. It's got to be done. Once you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I agree with the mayor, you know, it's got to be done.
Got to be done.
For next year?
Any budget items, because we're getting close to that deadline, anything this year you can think of or anything next year? Just always put it on there.
Well, I just have a couple of things, you know, about the sprayer that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then... I had given you them papers some time ago for that testing equipment for the water.
Yep.
That right now...
That leveling bar, right? That's what you'd like to...
Yep, leveling bar for grading the roads or the
alleys.
Then, like I said, right now, I guess the testing equipment that we're using for... When we got to do the tests out at the ponds and stuff is Kurt's test equipment. And, you know, we're gonna need our own. Eventually, in time here anyway. So, and I got some prices. I don't know. I got them papers somewhere down in the office down there, too. I don't remember what that 400 and something for one and 300 and something for another one of the.
You were talking about the leaves, Greg.
Yeah.
Is there a vacuum on that mower? I mean, can you actually vacuum the leaves up, or do you have to mow over the top of them to get it in a bag? Or don't you even have a bagger for it?
I don't have a bagger for the lawnmower, no.
I was just thinking about a vacuum. If this happened with the leaves, it's going to happen again. Maybe a vacuum of some, you know, a bigger vacuum would be vacuum it. I don't know how you pick the leaves up. Must have dug them out of my hand, huh?
I actually used...
Greg was laying down on his stomach with that big sucker down there, sucking them up.
I actually used our blower.
Yeah.
That's like a blower, and you can suck them up, and then it kind of mulches them and bags them.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I took a piece off of mine at home to extend it because some of them are pretty deep and I couldn't even get down to the bottom. So,
do you think that next year we should maybe talk about seeing if we can work a deal with the county to get their big vacuum?
Well, I talked to Greg this morning about it. If we should maybe see if we can't work a deal with Norwood.
Somewhere.
And they could come over with their vac truck if.
That'll be a lot easier. Yeah, then you just pop the lids. And
And just figure out an hourly rate with them or something.
It took me 7.5 hours to do all the manholes.
I do have one other thing. I did happen to see our city employee was on the job Sunday. The leaves are blowing out of the I'm sure that's where you went, right?
What's that?
You were down there Sunday pushing leaves in?
Yeah, they were. Okay. Everybody wanted to get them done at the last minute before, and everything was piled up, and I thought everything had to be moved before, well, they were talking a foot of snow that we didn't have.
They bring two new dumpsters, right?
Yes, they did, and they're probably full now again, too. But I think that should be the end of it.
Yeah.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, once they're full, then.
But I brought that up because I don't know what everybody thinks about a time clock, but, I mean, for something like that for Greg on Sunday, I think he should have been compensated for that time. It had to be done.
I was in for 4.5 hours on Sunday because I got the shop all torn apart down there, and all the stuff out of the back was moved over to the front, and that jetter and everything was blocking stuff in, so I had to move everything around also to get the snow equipment out and put some things back in. And then one last thing I never did was that grate down below the shop, that was all full of leaves and all, so that, and I, as that melts and I throw this stuff, that leaves really couldn't have been in there either, so,
Yeah, and see, Steve brought that thing up about a time clock before, and I wasn't real wild about that, but, I see, how much you're around, and you don't, punch out at 3:30 and go home, and, like, this afternoon you were down there with that guy from Extreme Electric, beyond 3:30.
Yeah.
And Sunday when I went down there to get the leaf blower for the memorial, you were down there. And I mean, I think we should have a way of recording your hours that you work and everybody else's for that matter.
Anybody.
But not because we don't trust anybody.
No.
But to be sure that you're getting reimbursed and compensated fairly.
Right.
And I know that given the opportunity, you would just continue working and not, put in for it. And I don't think that that's right.
Well, even for a workman's comp point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're on the clock, you're covered.
Right.
Well, and that, exactly. And I think, and we talked about that before. Like I said, I wasn't in favor of it, but now, we don't have Dennis anymore. We've got Greg.
And the reason I brought it up was for a budget item for this year, or for next year, first thing to get. It might help for keeping track, might be save some time,
How much are those things?
I don't know.
I'd have to look back because we did look into it.
They're very cheap. You can get the grand and glorious that you'd have to, log in on a computer and that's all.
We just need a.
I don't know if you need all that, but just something to.
Right, but I'm just saying. Yeah. You can go to Sam's or you can go to Costco. You can buy one. You can buy the cards.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have a big investment.
Can we just set a dollar amount that we find in for not to exceed the next number of dollars that Jeremy would be authorized to buy it?
I don't know what that time clocks cost, but I mean,
I just think you should go out and buy it and not worry about it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. $350
$250
$300. Okay, I think that's fine.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have a problem.
We're talking about it, and I think.
I know Sam's does. I've been there.
We've got the interest, and I think we just.
I think that's a task for our mayor to go and purchase.
I can handle that because I've already seen them.
All right, get the one you want.
I have to go punch in at nights too. Here.
There you go.
Yeah. No hanging chads, so given that.
I'll check into it, and if it's anywhere at $250 to $300, that's authorized to spend anyway.
Yeah.
I'll get one.
Yeah.
If the council.
I think it'd be beneficial for all the way around. I think it just makes good sense. I think. More professional.
You might end up paying more.
I don't know.
I don't have a problem with it.
Do I make the motion?
Well, we're not out to beat anybody.
No, and that's it.
Yeah, I said, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that.
I think anybody does.
I know what Greg does, and when you're down there for 19 hours straight on the 19th of June, I'm sure he didn't put in for all those hours.
I know what time I get to work, and I know what time I leave, and I'm not cheating anybody, so I don't care.
No, I'm saying that's not.
We just want to be sure we're not cheating you.
Right.
Like I said, I don't have a problem.
The other thing we talked last month about that phone that's on your desk down there with the answering machine that doesn't work. Well, now your phone, I had occasion to use your phone on the workbench, and that's not much better shape. Push the buttons and none of the numbers work. So could we agreed to funds to get.
I actually want to. I got to go to. I have to run to Menards tomorrow and get a bunch of stuff, so I'm planning on getting a new phone tomorrow.
You don't have to work tomorrow.
Or Wednesday, then. Yeah, that's right, Wednesday.
But that one time your desk, replace that, too.
Yeah, that's yeah, true, too.
That's
I know.
A piece of crap.
Yeah, I know. You have to punch the numbers a couple of times sometimes, and then you got to listen for them.
Yeah,
exactly.
We don't need that.
Getting down to nothing down there for that, so. But. Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with the time clock, so.
And your computer's working?
Yep.
Well.
Anything else for Mr. Schultz?
Thanks for all your hard effort. It hasn't been easy with all the leaves. And
thank you.
Hopefully this winter will be a little easier.
Like the post office up there.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's a little more mild this winter.
Yeah.
So. You know, it's snow every other day and 30 below. Not easy on anybody, so.
Oh.
You had to be pleasantly surprised this morning when you woke up.
Yeah, I was.
You should see that snow roller's got. That is really slick. You
what, does it do it by itself?
Just what do you have?
It's got power steering.
Hey.
And everything.
Dick. Dick. From inside.
Speaking of the snow, is Brad going to dump some salt out there? I could have pretty much skated from my house to here.
Well, so that was something coming up tonight.
It's on my thing. While you brought it up, we might as well touch base on it. Do we want to forego doing a mixture of sand salt, or we just want to use pure salt?
Well, we talked about it last year, wasn't it? That we kind of wanted salt.
Well, we wanted anything last year. We couldn't get it, so I.
Did
I
you, did you happen to see the price of pure salt, though?
Yeah, I don't think yeah. I don't think he dumped. Did they dump salt? I think it was just sand at all.
Combination.
A mix.
Was a combo?
Yeah,
because
some
of
it is
salt. The streets were icy all winter long. I don't remember melting at all.
I mean, I went to Norwood this morning, and you could tell the difference.
Yeah.
And like the fellow from the DOT, they had him on TV. How many millions of dollars they spend on salt? The people don't object to paying more than they can drive safely. That's the same thing here as in summer. You pay for mosquito control. You know, what level do you want? To me, I'd rather have good streets.
And Mayor, I think rather than just the intersections, some of the whole streets, like Jacob Street, there was never any standard salt on there, but it was at just at the intersection.
We're going to spend more money. I guess it depends on the year.
Right.
You know.
But I believe Bob, when he says he could have skated her from college.
Low budget.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, we're going to save some, don't I? Right, with all the equipment and stuff.
So you're saying pure salt or mixture?
I'm for the whole salt.
Yeah.
You don't have the sand then in the curbs?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have the cleanup. You don't have the sand going down into the storm sewers.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
a big thing. That yeah. stuff washes down there. It takes a while to wash out, and that's you know, that's part of like the jetting when they go and they jet these things. That's a lot of what it is. It's the sand that's sitting down in there. You know, straight salt, you got 24-hour black tar. Sand and salt, yes, no. After a while, if you get enough sand on the road at the intersection, it's just like it's ice anyway.
Yeah, that's.
You know, I mean, you stop, you take off, you're spinning your tires. It's, I don't know. I even watched the county truck go by today, and a lot of times when I worked for the county, Chaska, Chanhassen, that area was always straight salt. Out here, used to be a mix. You know, they kept getting hotter and hotter loads. Like today, treated salt, straight.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're starting to go more to that too. And I know one thing, like with the county. When they did it, what they looked at, like when they went and they did the salt sand, didn't work as fast, didn't work as good, had to do more rounds to get it.
Yeah.
Now you plow them off, you drop the straight salt, and you got black tar the next day.
Plus that salt stays there kind of for the next time?
Yep, that stays on the road, and that first initial stuff will melt, and yeah.
When you drive on it, it crunches it up, and so you get some traction.
Or how are you going to do that? a discrepancy.
Well, that's just our recommendation.
Yeah, recommendation.
What we're requiring.
Yeah.
I mean, we can make that order, I guess, or
yep.
executive order, you know, dealers yep. that we want.
Well, salt.
Yeah. Your salt.
And you guys are going to be in charge of that, taking care of we need salt down, or they're just going to, they know when to do that, or what?
They should basically know when the streets need it.
Oh, I mean, in front of my place right now, it's that's glare ice, the whole thing.
Yeah,
Jake asked me, he says, how come it's ice here, Dad, in downtown? It's, I says, because downtown there's more cars driving and stuff, and here there's a few that just pack it, and that's as far
well,
as it
downtown
gets.
Downtown, the county went through.
Yeah.
I guess so. That's just something we'll have to take into consideration, and council will have to decide, do we want just, I mean, at a bare minimum, I think you should keep the main arteries open.
Right.
On the main street.
Yeah.
So
main
you can
street.
Get in
yeah.
and out for emergency and people can get around and
right.
intersection. Now, whether you want to say every street or you just want to dictate certain streets, you want to keep, you know, what roads you want, black roads.
Yeah.
Well, know, and not because I live out here, but I mean, Jacob Street's a main thoroughfare into the city.
And even like Brad Street is the main feeder
from back
for all the other ones.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't
right, so
worry about Kim, David, Robert.
But Brad, Jacob,
Brad.
Yeah.
County Road 50.
You know.
Well, the county takes care of County Road 50, right?
Kind
of. Yeah, they half of it.
Yeah.
Three-fourths, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's still
I didn't see when they
thing.
Went that way, but they
are really good about
right
it, yeah.
Straight through the intersection here today. I watched them go through, so.
And, you know, like by the cabinet shop there, by the stop sign, that's kind of downhill. You're going to need some salt there.
Oh, that's kind of business.
Yeah. And then around the corner by the elevator there, on that corner is always...
We can kind of tell them what
yeah.
we want.
Well, they know that. No, they don't always... But whatever. You don't need a motion.
No. I guess we just tell them what
yeah.
we want.
Yep.
If we're on consensus, that's what we want.
No contract with them. So.
Yep.
It's in the contract, this or that, so we know.
Yep.
What we're up against. All right. You want to tell them or shall I? I can.
Either or.
I got to go in tomorrow morning anyhow.
We'll both send them up.
All right. Anything else for Greg? Or you any? Otherwise, thank you.
Thanks for your hard work.
Remember, a day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, move on to number 12.
Okay, property insurance claims. Just one outstanding claim from the year. Now, I've gotten paid for the grinder station repairs.
What was that total?
It was around 17,000. 16.8 because they had to take away the 250 deductible
yeah.
from insurance. 16.8 something.
Is there any resistance or grumbling about doing that?
Oh, no, I didn't have no
Who?
Issues.
Who's grumbling? What was that, Dick?
We got paid
well,
through the insurance.
Right now,
the
insurance is reimbursed us. Now they're going to be going after his. So
oh,
that's where
I mean, we're taking care of it.
Yeah, we're good. We got our
we're
money.
The deductible. Did
and
we get that back?
Yes, they would go after him for the deductible on that. The only one we'd lose the deductible on is the pumps at the lift station.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, where we had the lightning taken out. So we received the money for that, too.
That was
and the grinder.
League of Municipalities? Or
yes, from our insurance.
Yeah.
Yep. The hydrant's the only one outstanding right now, and that's because we're waiting for the bill from Hannings to finalize that one out. So otherwise, all the claims we've had this year, the garage door, that's been paid too, so that's been taken care of. And like I said, if they know it's for someone else's at fault, they will go after their insurance to get the deductible and reimburse us the deductible also. So.
So at this point, we were reimbursed everything but the deductible.
But the deductible and then the hydrant, we have to finalize
yeah.
that. Yes.
But then, oh yeah, what's left to be done down there, that's going to move
that's
the next area.
But to me, that's, you know, what's our deductible?
$250.
To me, that seems, if it was 16 something, I thought we had 16 just alone tied up with the pump guy.
We had 16.4 for that, didn't we?
Because then we had Excel yet. I thought there was a
Excel
lot more
charges for
charges.
Well, there was no.
No. And then we just had them and Rob.
Rob's was like 2,000.
Yeah.
So that would be about 18.
So, yeah. Maybe, let's see. I'll take a look at it to make sure we're kosher.
Well, yeah, I think it was, his was 15.8 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then, and so Rob's was like 2,000, so that'd be, you know, like
15, 16, 17, 8, almost 18,000.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll look into it to make sure we're kosher, but I thought me and Sherry did. Look at that one we got.
Whatever it is, we got, it's done. That's good. It's good. Forgot. Go on. So.
Also want to look at or considering extending the service agreement for the electronic sign. It's a crapshoot. I mean, really.
You
know, I mean,
didn't we pass that before here?
Yeah, 1 year though.
Yeah.
To get the cleaning and.
You know what I think? I think the sign is outdated. I think we have. I think we should just let the sign. It's working yet? I just let the sign go. When it takes a crap, then we get a different sign. Get the one with the electronic one, the better, the newer ones. I don't know. I don't like that sign.
But so we have a contract on that now?
Yeah.
Till the end of the year.
The end of
and
the
so
year.
Are they going to fix the lights in the top of it?
I've put that. Yeah. Let me follow up with that.
What's the cost about again?
It was like 13
something. Yeah.
1,300.
1 year. It's expensive.
I can't see sticking that money in. I can stick that money in there.
Yeah, no, that's why I said it's a crapshoot. I mean, what do you 13, do? I mean,
$1,365.
I don't know.
$1,365 for 1 year, $2,430 for two.
$2,530 for two-year
platinum plus extended. Well, that don't make sense. It's the same as.
Because I think
annual payments.
The Lions and the Relief Association paid like $16,000 for that thing when it was put up. Does that sound about right?
That's 6 or 8 years ago, huh?
But that was
longer than that. I got it ready.
9 years was it?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, was it after Centennial?
Yeah, it was the second.
That's 2001.
Well,
no.
2008.
Yeah, because we moved here in 2007, and I think it was put in 2008.
2008.
Well, it was 2001. No.
So it's 2008.
Still, that's...
That's 6 years.
Yeah.
That's really long than that.
And what it was, all the monies that was made at Zummerfest, did that, and then the clubs.
Yeah.
And others donated towards it. Yeah. So I don't know, it's a lot of money.
I think it's outlasted its longevity already. I think it's...
Our centennial was 2001.
But we were 125th.
We're talking
125th.
Yeah,
that's what it was. 125th.
So it would have been 2008.
100 years was 1983.
125 would have been 2008. Yeah.
Yeah, 2000.
Maybe it was out of town.
I guess it probably wouldn't hurt to look into a new sign, but you know that one was $16,000.
Probably $34,000.
Like what the bank has got in Greenville.
It's a nice one.
There you
nice,
go. That's the one that we need. That's
we'll go get it.
Okay.
please your
not
trailer.
A problem.
I don't even have my trailer.
Okay. License plate can fall off right there.
No, I'll put your plates on.
Ah, quit.
Anyway,
yeah.
So the consensus is yes or no?
I say no.
I say yes. I mean, I guess, or at least for another 2 years, $2,400 is cheaper than letting it take a crap and spending 30.
And they're very expensive to come out here and fix it if we want anything fixed.
If we don't have a maintenance contract.
If we don't have a contract, that's what I mean. $2,400 for that is a lot cheaper than having them come out and fix it.
If it gets below what temperature, does it not work anymore?
30, pretty much, right around freezing.
Yeah. Been that way ever
I've talked to them about that. Yeah. I talked about the paint peeling off side, so that's not covered.
Yeah,
I can see the paint.
They say
like
after
salt on the roads.
They said after 5 years, no, that's gone.
So I mean, what good? It don't tell you the temperature, tells you the time, but you should be on time. But
maybe we'll renew, but they get a text.
Does that thing automatically adjust for daylight savings time?
It should. I'll look at the clock when I go home.
But I mean, I don't. Sometimes, well, I don't know. I just don't.
Well, the thing is, it's a hassle for Jeremy to have to change the message on it because he has to go down there and sit in his car and plug his inverters and take his laptop along.
Not bad when it works.
Yeah. But I guess you look at $1,300 a year to fix it. You know, in 10 years, you still couldn't buy a new one for that.
My only worry would be, like, the main board goes out or whatever, the motherboard in it, how expensive is that? You know what I mean? You know, like a computer.
If we don't have a maintenance contract,
it'd be cheaper to buy a new computer than replace the motherboard in a computer. You know what I mean? So
I just can't. It looks so old. I mean, the town never changes. The clock don't never change. The board never changes. It just, you put a different board up there, people say, wow, this town's changing. Things are changing in town. You know?
And that costs money.
Yeah. I know, but still. I
already got chewed out for high taxes today, so.
Maybe I'll go down.
That doesn't mean after we have to do it today, but I mean,
I'll go to Green Isle this week and just talk to the bank there and see who made the provider and see if there's a name on the sign, and to see if I can get some information.
There's that one in Redwood Falls that makes probably made that sign, but
I guess the idea is, do we want to go with an extend the extension or?
We got time yet. I mean, it got till end of the year.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
put it on the agenda for next.
When they come out to fix the top light, remind them that
you know,
we're thinking about maybe renewing
if we get that fixed in the thermostat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because, hey, you want our money, we want your service.
And I agree with Steve, it'd be nice to have a nice, you know, fancy one, but, you know, can we afford it? That's the thing. And Bob's got a good point, too, is that, you know, we've got it there, it's functional, if we got it, a little bit to keep it going.
And if it went dead, people would object. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think you both got good points.
We'll think about it. But I'm leaning towards we do it.
Okay, so moving on to policing contract. Basically, went up about $119. Not bad.
No, that's reasonable.
So, I don't know if anybody has any discussion.
Motion to approve the 2015 policing contract.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the 2015 policing contract. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Employee handbook. I did email it to everyone. Just, if you took the second attachment, with some of the changes, I noticed one attorney updated. There are a few of the changes in there that didn't get touched on the attorney's part of it, and a lot of it was taking out the part-time portion of it, that there'd be no benefits for part-time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which would include comp time, sick, vacation,
yep,
holidays, that,
yep,
those exceptions, which we had already approved them.
Yeah.
But I want to get the employee handbook approved as a whole. Another thing, and it would be mainly more so on councils, but my thing is another thing I talked to attorney about adding in there is considering what constitutes a 40-hour work week, that vacation time and sick time won't go towards that for overtime purposes. And also, we never had that in there, but I believe comp time should be added. Because basically when you get comp time, that's already comped at 1.5%. And then be able to use comp time to put towards overtime, you know, it's like you're doubling, tripling up.
Right.
So I really think we need to add that in there. So.
And I think that's pretty standard through businesses.
Yeah.
You got to be on the job for 40 hours.
Right, because usually if the comp time's at, usually it's overtime,
yeah,
right, that you take the comp time, so. You have to, by law, pay that out at 1.5. Yeah. So if you get if he has 2 hours of overtime, he takes comp time, he gets 3 hours of pay. And then I don't think he should turn around and be able to use them hours to get more up overtime, you know, in a future week. That's just,
right,
you know, these are kind of them little things we need to get out of there to keep us from paying more than we need to.
like the performance evaluation is another thing which we talked about. We do it at 6 months, and then we do it again November thereafter.
Yep.
So we've already had that discussion, so I made that clear. Trying to see any other other thing was just, you know, like I said, a lot of it was taking the part-time out if we went through it. So all the red markings there, and this will kind of then summarize up our handbook then. All almost 40 pages. The only other question I had is on council, their thoughts. What our attorney did, but I guess I'd leave this up to council, she had the organizational structure as citizens, council, clerk, treasurer, in that order. And then underneath the clerk, treasurer, we used to have fire chief on the same level. She said that should be, fire chief should be under the clerk, treasurer. So I don't know what council's wishes are. That's what we used to have. Do we want to change it to that, or...
The fire chief should be under the clerk?
Yeah, if you look at that, you'll see that, how it's marked. She has it stricken, and then moved down. So I guess that's... I guess council can decide on that one. It doesn't bother me either way.
How's it working now?
Which one you want to relationships with?
I see, but you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. Where are you at, Dick, on that?
I read it in the second back of this first page.
Oh.
I emailed it out, so.
You're here.
I don't have
it. My email in the second.
Oh, that's right. You don't. I should print. I should just print it out.
See, here's the way it is now. It's Citizen City Council Jeremy, the Fire Chief. Jeremy and the Fire Chief are basically equal. What they want to do is take and put the Fire Chief under Jeremy. The one who
made it. Should be a chain of command, though, I think. He should be down there.
I don't know.
That's what I think.
If what?
I think there should be a chain of command. I think the Fire Chief should be below the City City Clerk Treasurer. I mean, there you got the City Clerk Treasurer and the Fire Chief. Well, he said this, he said this. Well, I think there's one or the other. Got to be a chain of command, not just...
He's below the council.
He's below the council, but... Still, he should have to answer to somebody. It should be, if council's not going to be here, he's going to have to answer to City Clerk Treasurer, I think.
Well, he goes there anyhow, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean...
It's kind of, this would make it a formality.
Right. But
how's the fire department going to receive that? Is that going to cause any ripples?
I think as a.
I mean, it'd be different if you had a city administrator. That'd
right.
be obvious, you know.
Right. But I still think that this fire chief has got to answer to. Not answer, but tell him what's going on. That's what basically what I'm getting at is we got to know what's going on, too, you know.
Well, that's just it. I mean. He has to come to us.
Yeah, that's what he should be. I think he should be.
But that's the way it is now. He comes to us,
right.
The council.
And that's, I think, a good
what
policy.
Steve is saying, we put him under Jeremy, then his next stop is the city clerk instead of the council.
What, do you want to burden him with more?
No, I'm not voicing an opinion one way or the other. But I think, you know, it's worked well the way it's been. We just went through a big mess. Everybody knows that. And that finally seemed to work itself out. And Jeremy Grant, he's got enough going on.
I think
keep as is.
I'd say keep as is, and if something wants to change, we change it.
Yeah, let's keep as is.
Okay. My opinion.
So with those additions, just be looking to adopt now the employee handbook.
Do we need a motion for that?
Yes.
I got one thing.
Okay.
Being that he was here with that insurance. Do we have to have anything in the handbook for the insurance?
Well, it depends what we do next meeting. We can always make that adjustment and motion and correct it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, before we make a motion on the handbook, do we want to wait? Or what?
I'd rather have it now, just because I want to get a lot of them things clarified.
Right.
And we can make that revision
next
meeting if we need to.
I was just saying that because I know that's the thing that's, you know, got to have that. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Motion to approve the revisions for the employee handbook.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve the revisions for the employee handbook. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 7 o'clock should be fine. Motion?
Yes, sir. Make a motion. So
second. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to hold an additional council meeting on November 25th at 7 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, so I always bring it up each year. Anything in 2014 that the council would like to see done yet? We're getting, that's that time of year.
Yeah.
We're basically down to, you know, 6 weeks here.
Well, one thing, I guess anybody who's got any kind of mileage or anything coming, get it in.
And then special meetings.
Of December. So you can get that all in the books and get that done.
And then just any budget items for next meeting for 2015. Like I said, we're down to the last month for setting the final budget. Like I said, we're down to, you know, 6 weeks for...
Steve and I on Sunday were over at, well, we were here at the back of the building, and that roof above the air conditioner compressors, where that meets
overhang.
The wall of the building here, that's all ripped up. Have you noticed that?
That's been that way for a while.
Yeah.
Is that a source of leakage yet?
We thought so. Could be.
Could be. Flashing issues.
And I don't know how that, you know, looks like somebody had a snowblower up there or something and was running into the wall. But I mean, it looks pretty rough.
I think that's one of the things we have. I don't know if we put it in the budget or on the wish list. I can't remember. But
well,
we did.
It's one or the other. I know it was addressed.
Yeah.
Because I'd ask council to want to know if we have a leakage problem. Walk in the women's bathroom and take a look at that.
It was fixed once and we thought we had it, but
yeah.
It's probably coming from that up there.
So that'll have to be springtime, I'm sure. No. Yeah. That's going to have to be a budget item because that's going to have. That'll be some new tin up there and some new flashing. I'm sure there's a hole poked in it flashing somewhere the way that looks.
Probably.
Pretty rough. Holy pokers. I mean.
Well, mention it to Greg and get some prices next spring or whatever.
I'll talk to Dan Elfke.
And did they finish the roof down there on that Lions building?
Yes. Was it $200-some he charged?
$259 it said or something.
And that was, we're going to pay $1,500 and you only charge us $200?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, there were probably only replaced two-thirds, well, three-fourths, you know, because where it overlaps, them ridges,
yeah.
He didn't pull them nails out. But like you said, he'll come back in spring, reassess it when we get a rain day, and he can look, see if it is leaking, if it is, where it is, and then tackle it again.
Go from there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
If
nothing else, but we can move on. Special meeting for budget workshop meeting. You know, like I said, we've just always done it them Tuesdays, kept it in a row. You can either make a motion now or make a motion, I guess, at the next meeting would be sufficient too.
I'll make it now just to get it taken care of.
Second.
Do you want to do 7 or 6:30 work or?
Makes no difference. I should be.
Done
after right. This week.
Right. Let's try a 6:30 one, huh?
Sure.
Bob?
Seth?
6:30?
6:30 works for you? Or?
It's okay for me.
Okay.
This would be on
December
2nd.
Yep.
So there's a motion. You want to be more specific? Or?
December 2nd at 6:30. That's our
second.
Motion made and seconded to... set a special meeting for budget workshop on December 2nd at 6:30 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
And then just one more motion. Basically, city fee schedule for the next meeting. I'll have some scenarios put together for water rates so we can look at where we need to be for water rates 2015 and sewer and stormwater. But also what I need is tonight to be able to, if We want to adopt the city fee schedule so it's effective January 1st. You know, I like to do that. So what I'd look to do is hold a public meeting on December 9th at 6:45.
It's fine.
Public hearing?
Public hearing,
yeah,
correct.
15 minutes before the regular.
Yeah.
Your motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to have a public hearing meeting for city fee schedule December 9th at 6:45 p.m. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Public nuisances. We did get some public nuisances out, so we will follow up on them to address some issues. If you have any, like I said, always feel free to call or shoot me an email, or we'll get a letter sent out.
Okay. Again,
and what we'll do is, I forgot to tell you that for Friday, but we have a list where we can create a list.
And I got
we'll
that updated.
Oh, you got that updated.
I didn't
you should
put
it in.
I updated it.
All right, so if you got
Sorry.
That updated, we'll email that out. So
yep.
Let's email that out Wednesday so you know
who I sent it to.
Who we sent it
okay.
to. And then if you have something else,
and the
someone
reason
else,
I sent it.
You can get it to us. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I got this for
you. Steve and I drove around on Sunday, and 602 Robert has a mammoth amount of junk on the side of their garage.
That's what
602 Robert, that would be the Mavison place. A lot of that is gone now.
What was it? There was three snowmobiles.
All these big buildings and all
little,
these.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, there's snowmobiles and cars and everything?
They got one.
Yeah, and they got one. So.
Really? Who?
They got one. 602.
Okay.
And then could you send a dog litter to the people in Brenda Jerry's house? Or Brenda... Grady's house.
Okay.
Please.
Pertaining.
The dog letter.
Dog barking dark.
They got two dogs in there. And just, no.
Barking?
2 o'clock in the morning, they're barking, yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay, that raises a good question. My neighbor's got a dog that yelps constantly. Now, is that...
From what I understand that I read in the ordinance.
Send a letter, yeah.
We can send a letter for
okay.
that.
Or if you feel it's too bad, I guess, yeah.
Well, they'll sit there and monitor it, but I think let's give them a letter from the council.
Okay. Sure.
He'll know where it's coming from because we talked to him already.
Okay.
And that don't make no doggone difference.
Yeah, I'd go over there to lose and drink.
605 George.
I can't believe these people can't hear that dog barking.
Well, same like us.
Yeah.
I mean, it yelps and yelps and yelps.
Constant.
Well, we holler outside, the neighbors hear us.
And they think you're crazy.
No, then the dog is brought in, so they can hear us complain at the dog, but they can't hear the dog who's close right in their backyard. To do anything about it.
Well, I mean, you know where we live down there, but even if all the windows closed, and as far away as we are, you can hear those dogs clear as day.
Well, and they're outside.
And they're next
they're outside,
to us.
Yeah.
I got a comment for Dick. You'd holler over, shut up. They'll holler, why don't you shut up?
They know better.
Okay.
All right, we'll send them out this week, too.
I don't know what the name of it is. There's three families living there. I don't know who.
Well, whatever we have on file,
yeah.
We'll send it to them.
Send it to that
whoever
address.
We have as the owner, we'll send it to
yeah.
them.
Jeremy, how did you? The reason I seen that one person in here tonight, I thought she was up here for that.
She got one too.
Oh,
yeah.
Funny she didn't.
The one about the other animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sent her
so
one.
We got her animals running at large, which we talked about.
Right.
Yeah.
For the donkeys.
Yeah.
And did that hourly come off of policing?
We haven't seen nothing.
Oh.
I haven't seen no overtime or any
oh.
type billing or anything.
Oh,
I know we haven't seen nothing come through.
That's one of the, that's the big thing. That's what I thought. Holy cow. I mean, we were standing out there trying to chase this thing in. And
well, any yeah. other good reports you got on your phone that you observed?
Tell them about that, the DWI guy. By your
oh, phone. They know about that.
Oh.
No, yeah.
I mean, if that guy was 1.7, and you know, just keep in your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing. Oh. I'm sorry. But
Dick, did you get pulled over again?
No.
No.
Well, no.
I'll tell you.
Am I always the last one to find out anything in this town?
I called the cops, and they checked it out, and they said, seriously, I was standing right there, and the cop says, 1.7 or on the Richter. Yeah, on the Richter, and I was standing right. He never seen me, but I was standing right there. And then he says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take the key off the ignition, lock it in your toolbox, and here's the key for your toolbox. And left him go back to sleep. I looked, what?
He found this guy in a vehicle outside.
Yeah.
So then the cop put him back to bed in his pickup and took off. And then he called me and I says, well, you know what? I'm standing there looking at that pickup and there's a guy running down the road to the pickup, helping the guy back out of the pickup. I says, you better turn around and come back. But the cop turned around and came back, and then they went into somebody's house there across the street. I don't know. It was after a wedding dance. And the guys that the neighbors called were worried about you freezing out here. I don't think that's what I said when I called in. I said, there's a guy outside my house sleeping in a pickup, and I don't like it, you know. Because it was 2:30 in the morning or something, you know. All of a sudden, this pickup is running out there. What the heck's going on, you know?
Whatever.
Yeah, that's what happened. I went out there, and here he's sleeping with coveralls on in front of his pickup. So I called the cop then. And he come by and said, well, I'll lock your key back here, and here's the key for the toolbox. But at 7:30 when I got up, the truck was already gone, and that was 2:30 when he stopped there, so I don't think he was sober when he drove away.
No.
And he wasn't sober when he drove it there from the dance hall.
Either, that shouldn't work that way.
We're going to put you in streets and donkey patrol.
Yeah. I knew this was going to happen.
I'll pop for a whistle.
Yeah.
You don't know that one either. We'll tell you after meeting.
I'm speechless.
I got a real good comment.
Don't say it.
Now, the Grahamses, have they been?
I would have to imagine so. They're always on
letter?
That list.
I think they did. Yeah.
Yeah. They're out by the ballpark.
Yeah, they did.
And
there were like six or seven, I think, though.
And I had seen they cleaned up Sunday. They raked all the leaves away from their garage door and shut it and raked it out into the middle of the alley and left it lay there. So that was cleaning up.
All right. So now, could you let me know if things happen in town here?
I'm sorry. Hey, you know how stories get started. I thought you knew. I did.
Just a couple other things. Spruce tips have been donated for down at the memorial. Oh. So they'll be put down in there. We'll make sure we get a thank you out for that. And this is one other thing I wanted to touch base on it, more so in a closed meeting with some family health concerns. But there are some days I need to take off. I've kind of emailed council to update you on yet. But I think I will wait till my review, and when we have a closed meeting, I can address them concerns.
That's fine.
I'd feel more comfortable with that because I just don't feel everybody needs to know my situation there. Other than that, that's all I got.
And I'm sure you have all of our best wishes.
I appreciate it. I really do.
Kurt, the guy that covers with Greg.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to do like really a whale of a job. He's always very pleasant to me whenever I bump into him.
He's super.
Could we send him a little thanks for at least a Christmas card or something to say we appreciate all the extra effort that you're putting in? Cause I know he's putting in way more hours than you're paying him for, but he doesn't have to use the time clock.
We don't want him to use the time clock.
Yeah. But anyway, he's really good.
Anything else?
On this State of Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Now, that last notice of violation we got was dated like in September. And now I see this here one is dated June. Did we have two violations?
Yes.
But they've both been taken care of, right?
They've both been addressed. It's funny that they were addressed before we even got the letter.
Yeah.
On the second one.
Well, did we get the letter did we get the August letter before we got this one dated June 20th?
The August 26th one we got, yeah, and we took care of that one.
But this here one,
this one,
dated 6/20. Down at the bottom on the side.
Where they're pulling that or what that for, the file or something, I don't know, but like I said, this is the first I just got in the letter.
Was there any
Friday, right? I think this came Friday.
Was there any fines in that with them? Affiliated?
Not right now.
No?
Because even if you look here, this says 7-11. You go to the next page, 6-6-20.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I love the line here, the MPCA reserves the right to seek any and all remedies available and taking further action with respect to the alleged violation. That's kind of like over the hammer with the
Yeah, but everything in them letters has been addressed.
Yeah. And maybe that letter you sent to the paper might be that too.
Yeah, definitely. Helped out a ton on that.
Because I know Greg's pretty really high level.
I would second it.
Anything else? Otherwise, we'll look towards the October remainder claims for $17,391.26.
Motion to accept the October added claims 17036 through 17054, totaling 17391.26.
There a second?
I'll second that.
And three hatch payments.
And the three hatch payments. You had them?
And the three hatch payments.
Okay.
Sure. Motion made and seconded to approve 17036 to 17054 with the three added edge payments, a total of $17,391.26. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Just a question this I should have asked years months ago. These para payments, there's two of them. Why is the difference, or what's left?
Because you have your pay period, okay? And then you got 14 days, you know, that you have to pay into para after the pay period. So whenever the pay date is, then you got 14 days to pay it.
Okay.
So that's why usually we have about three different pay dates. Now last time we had four, because we had three pay dates fall in October. Right? Because they were paid on the 31st.
Okay.
So they had three payments, plus then mine, which I do separately, because they do one that go by biweekly, monthly. Mm. So that's why you could get up to four. Typically, there'll be three pair of payments a month.
So this is for you and Greg?
And Sherry.
Mm-hmm. And Sherry.
Yeah. And basically how PARA works is 6.25% of your paycheck automatically is taken out, and then that's the employee, and the employer pays 7.25%, and that's set by basically state statute. So
the one below that, the Minnesota Department of Revenue, that is for 2014, right? That's just a typo?
It probably is, yes. Okay. It was just missed. We will correct that.
I figured that. I did.
Yeah. Good point out.
Okay.
Now, what exactly are accountability tags on 17078?
You got two tags if you're a fire or EMT.
Okay, I'm not a fireman, so I don't know.
But say they've got an accountability board. Say there's a big fire. You take one off your lapel and you put it on this board. Whoever is in command knows who's went in the building, is water supply, or whatever. Accountability. It's just a plastic tag with Velcro, comes off, goes on a board so they know where you are.
Gotcha. Motion to accept the November claims, check number 17055 through 17081, totaling $23,075.89.
And the 4-H. And the 4-H payments.
What's that?
And the 4-H payments.
Yeah.
The top 4-H.
The ACH payments.
Oh, and yeah, and all the payments. Okay, there we go.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve claims 17055 to 17081 with the 4-H payments, total of $23,075.89. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. City Council reports, Mr. Odoms.
I'm trying to get hold of the lady about our flashing stop sign or our flashing sign that we might put down here, and she's not. We call that the Steve sign, and she's not returning my calls. So I'm working on it, but okay. That's all I got.
Awesome.
2 months ago, and they said it'd take about 2 weeks. I said, yeah, go ahead and do it. They said, and that's the last I heard. So,
okay, so they haven't done anything.
Probably not.
Typical state bureaucracy, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
It'll happen next spring, probably.
Anyway, you're next.
I got nothing other than that.
Mr. Lund isn't here.
On a delinquent bill, that one Wesley, which house is that?
It used to be the sleeper house.
Oh.
From the hall?
This is the guy that owns it?
Yeah, he just finally showed up out of the blue last week. Oh. Is it last week?
Yeah, it was.
Monday or something, maybe? What day were you off? Well, whatever.
He showed up last
week out of the blue, and I said, yeah, we've been trying to get a hold of you, because he never left us a forwarding address, and he disappeared, and I guess he was a traveling chef or something. He was all over in all kinds of states.
Oh.
Now he come back and kind of, I guess they've gotten the boot, and so we gave him the bad news on the bill. And he said he would start working with us to get that bill paid, because I said ultimately, you know, the homeowner's responsible, but I said unfortunately, we'd have no way of getting a hold of you.
But he
Where's
should.
His place?
Kenny Guy's old house.
Okay.
Across from the hall.
All right.
But he is responsible for that bill, or are
oh,
they?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he is, because he's the owner. And he knew that. He kind of said, well, I already had so and so much owed me, so I figured there'd be a bill here.
At least he stopped in
and he gave us his forwarding address and everything. So
I'm just going by what the Honorable Mayor
with him on.
Yeah, I'm just going by what the Honorable Mayor says. We're not a bank. And we're not putting the blame on anybody, but I mean it just
No, they were shut off. I think that happened after the last company.
Hey, we did shut them off, but then we had to turn them back on because of the cold weather rule.
Can we charge them to turn them back on then?
Well, they got a boiler in there?
Yeah.
They do.
Me and Greg were shocked, but me and Greg both went over there. We didn't charge them because we weren't supposed to shut them off to begin with.
Hmm. Who's the first one?
Cold weather.
Gary Taggart.
Yes, $4.91.
$4.91?
The house we moved in on Brad Street.
Oh.
Oh, and the little one?
Yeah.
Must have changed hands.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Like June or July?
Summer, yeah.
Well, in town after for a short time, and he's got a big bill already.
Yeah.
Well, I know Bob mentioned here last meeting or two meetings ago that, you know, we were like up to $10,000 in past due water bills, but I see we're down to six now. He mentioned then that, you know, it's come down substantially. So whatever you guys are doing,
it's more like it's not six.
It's kind of deceiving. I mean, this is how the report is run, and you need that because the ones who are past due, it's going to show the whole balance they owe. But if you look at it, the detail balance, that's what they completely owe. The next one, current charges, that's like what I just billed them for. Mm-hmm. So like I just sent them out for their October usage.
Oh, okay.
So that's the current charges. So they're really not past due on that. It is kind of deceiving.
So it's
the way
like
it looks
3,800 past due right now.
But you're right. It was.
It was about
10,000.
But the current is added into it.
So right.
Right. Sure, you've been kneecapping people. Is that it?
You start shutting people off, where it gets out, you know. And
yeah.
Or you just.
So
I went,
you are right. It was 10,000, and it's down to.
Greg and Kurt, they went around and marked a bunch of people and found their curb stops too. So that a lot of times gives people eyes.
You can't shut it off after October 15th, right?
Correct.
Through April 15th or something. Yeah. What it is.
If
same with heat.
If
yeah.
it's your if the water, yeah, exactly.
That issue I raised about our water bill last month.
It was self-correcting.
You could disregard that.
Yeah, so we looked into that. We did look into that.
It looked normal.
Yeah. I've got one other thing. Down at the memorial, I've noticed that, now give me, I don't know if I'm, my eyes are bad or what, but we had talked once that there's four lights there, two bigs, two smalls, and the smaller ones were shut off, or are they on? Are all four of them on? I thought once we had cut the lights down.
And you know, I've gone by there and I've seen those two smaller lights off. And I think I reported that one time, and then
I thought they were off too.
Somebody
no,
went down there and
said,
"Oh, they're working fine." And so I went down there two nights in a row, and they were off. And the third night, I went down there and go for two out of three, and they were on. And there's one photo cell that controls the whole works. It controls the outlets and everything.
Yeah, because there's one photo cell.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So I don't know
them photo cells.
Yeah, but I mean the photo cell, you know, it powers everything or powers nothing. And I mean,
I don't know.
I thought maybe I was losing my mind.
I don't know if there's a short there or what's going on there. I
try to pay attention tonight when I go home to look.
Watch.
All right. Anything else?
No. You do it.
I brought up my stuff before already, so. At this point, we are not going to recess.
Nope.
The council meeting that was taken off. So at this point,
I make a motion to close.
To adjourn.
To adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.